across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Good evening. How are you? It's J-Cap here, in for Ian Lee. I know. I'm more surprised than you are. And it's lovely to be here. We've got so much to talk about. I've got nothing. Literally nothing. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Phone me up. Here are the headlines.
J-Cap, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's a generic cover show, and I'm your generic host.
It's a generic show.
Your favorite presenter's gone away. They're looking for a brand new post.
Good evening, how are you? Are you all right? Good. Everything's okay, just relax. Let's check out with you until 1 o'clock in the morning. Or, do you know what the heck? Let's just go through till six. Yes, Paul Ross, I'll be here. Slightly smelling of night soil, I'll be here for you. I did a two-way with him on Sunday. I did a handover. Right here in this room. You can tell it. Anyway, how are you? You alright? I got my hair cut. Catherine's here. She didn't notice. That's fine. Or if she... Maybe... Oh, no. She did notice. Oh. But didn't know how to... Oh. That looks like... Are you trying to be Charlie Brooker or something? What are you... Unbelievable. As always, if you'd like to get in touch, it's 87222. If you want to text me, start your text message with the word talk. Talk! Or you can tweet at Talk Radio. Or you can tweet me personally. It's J-Cap, J-A-K-E-Y-A-P-P. It's not Norwegian. It's not Norwegian! I got sent a thing once in the post, actually. It said, send $39.95 for your complete family history. This is in the days before the internet where you just Google it. We didn't send $39.95, but they teased us. They tried to tease us with a little tidbit of information. They said, the surname Yap, which is my real name. I mean, you wouldn't choose it, would you? Hails either from Somerset or Japan. Now, this is a stab in the dark, but I'm guessing I'm from the Somerset strain. I don't know. Anyway, also I was thinking about canal boats as well. I mean, I don't know, I'm not really going anywhere with that. I was talking to my hairdresser about canal boats. If you're ever going to go on a canal boat, right, you should go to, it's called the Pontkastellte Aqueduct, okay? It's the Pontkastellte Aqueduct. It's in North Wales. It's called the Pontkastellte. It's called It's near a place called Trevor. It's also near Knockin, near Pant. Have you been to Knockin near Pant? Anyway, it's awesome. There's like a 180-foot high aqueduct, and you go over it in your boat. There's like 3 inches of iron between you and certain death. I can probably have thought of an analogy that, you know, would have been very humorous if I'd had the time. But I didn't have the time. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think I'd be here this evening. News! The Daily Mail has... That's a very serious story. News! The Daily Star. That's awful. Kim Kardashian's bottom. News! Daily Express has... that's awful. News! The Daily Mirror's... No, I can't talk. News! The Sun! Who bun it? The world's biggest rabbit dies on... We did a thing. I normally do Sunday breakfast. Good morning. We did a thing. I asked a vet, can you eat rabbit poo? Because rabbits eat rabbit poo. And she said she wouldn't recommend it if you were immunocompromised. So if you were elderly or pregnant, she wouldn't recommend it. But otherwise, it's not going to do you any harm. There's no parasites that cross over from rabbits to humans. It's not going to do you that much harm. So there you go. You could save it. I mean, I don't know how much Cocoa Pops are nowadays, but... anyway, rabbits, because rabbits eat their own poo, but it's not the poo that you see. You know, those little hard little balls. come on, everyone, grow up. They're not like that. I shouldn't go into it. So, you know, you might still be eating or something. You might have just had a curry. I don't know. Anyway, if your rabbit's got a messy bottom, you should take them to the vet because it's a very serious business, apparently. And when I say business, I mean business. Anyway, news! The big news, obviously, that everyone's been talking about today. Well, hummus. I mean, I'll come on to hummus. All right. This is in the Daily Mail. The end of flashy weddings. The end of flashy weddings. Couples who dream of an extravagant wedding have been told to step away from the frills and flounces and get back to basics. Lavish multi-day nuptials. Was you wanting the multi-day nuptials? Have been overdone, says Country Life magazine. Instead, it's recommending brides to be opt for a more stripped-back, classy affair. The question I wanted to ask you really was, do you have any regrets for the revolting amount of money that you blew on your wedding that you probably could have used as part of a house deposit? I know people, they are about to spend a house deposit on their wedding. I know two people who, they're about to blow £27,000 on a wedding, and they are young. Like, I've reached a point where now these people seem young to me. But they're like in their 20s, maybe 30, renting. And they're about to spend £27,000 on a party. You could go to McDonald's, you can take 10 people, you get to go around the kitchens. And it's like, I don't know. 87222, text message with the word talk, or you can tweet at Talk Radio. Better though, why don't you phone me up? 0344-499-1000. I would absolutely love to talk to you, particularly about this. Apparently, according to Country Life, the past 10 years has seen an alarming arms race in weddings, as they have become bigger, brasher, and more expensive. And the editor says, the only essential ingredient... I don't know if he talks like that. Hang on, it's Country Life. The only essential ingredient... No, I'm just going into stereotypes now. The only essential ingredient is a big helping of sincerity and a little less triviality, guys. Yeah? Let's just let that sink. Should we put those on the board, those words, actually? Sincerity. Yep. Oh, these pens never work, do they? Okay. Anyway, it advises that couples need to give more thought also to the costs that are being imposed on their guests, including gifts and the cost of accommodation. Yeah, that was my other question. It's like, okay, you know, maybe you haven't got married yet, right? Or you don't want to get married or whatever. Or maybe, you know, you're doing that thing of kind of going, I'm sorry, can I have another toaster? I definitely love this one. And that's awkward, isn't it? You know, second weddings. That's tricky. Can I have another toaster? Is that cool? Come in. No? Okay. Did I blow it all off? All right. It's just that she, you know, she'd be quite upset if we don't. Okay. But yeah, when weddings. I'm not sure how I feel about weddings. In fact, I am completely sure how I feel about weddings. I think they're terrible. I think you're saying to everyone that you purport to love, we'd like to deny your human rights for about 13 hours. We're going to strip any kind of autonomy in where you go, what you do, what you eat, or even when you get to leave for about 12, 13 hours. Okay, guys, it's going to cost you about £300. Okay, cool, cool. It's going to be a magical day. Is it not a bit infantile? I mean, you know, we got food banks. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, come on. maybe, I don't know. Like, you know, I went to a wedding and it was like, it was in this remote place and you got bussed there. You had to get on a bus. So that's it. You can't leave now. And then they bussed you back at like 1 a.m. after you. And it's like, what if I've had enough? What if I don't want to listen to some speech just staggering on with someone who's not very entertaining? I'm sorry if this sounds harsh. I overheard a conversation at a wedding once. It was the father of the bride and the mother of the groom. And when I heard the mother of the groom turn to the father of the bride and say, "Yes, books are wonderful, aren't they?" I thought, well, this is a dead conversation. Are you kidding me? Well, let's just talk about weddings generally, right? So, do you think they're overpriced? Do you have no regrets? Was it just the best day ever? And you're like, actually, no, you're wrong, man. You got a cold heart, man. I'm going to phone you. I can't even remember your name, man, but I'm going to phone you up on 0344-499-1000, man. I'm going to tell you how it is. It's love, okay? We love each other, and it was the best day of our... It was the best day, man, whatever your name is. Jake Yap, hi. In Free and Lee, one night only. Tell me. I would love to, you know, because I'm here to learn. 0344-499-1000. But you know, do you similarly, do you feel trapped? Do you absolutely? And what's like the worst wedding you ever went to? We don't have to name names, but yeah, just what was the worst thing that ever happened to you on a wedding? That's a good question. I can tell you what happened to me, if you like. Not married now. I'm happier than I've ever been with my wonderful partner. But we're not married. But I was married to someone else who cynics would say, our marriage was somewhat expedited by virtue of the fact that she was American and needed a work visa. Cynics would say that. But, you know, whatever. So there was a sort of a party afterwards. You know, we were denying everyone their human rights for 13 hours, the way you do. And I was very, very thirsty. I was drunk, and I was very, very thirsty. You know that moment when, like, I think I'd been dancing or screaming. One of the two, I can't remember. And I was in this garden, and there was this bottle of mineral water. I thought, I am having that. I am so thirsty right now. And I drank probably about a quarter of a bottle of water before realizing that it had been being used as an ashtray. That was a bad experience. I don't recommend doing that. There was a moment like Wile E. Coyote, really, suspended in midair. You know, I held up a little hand-painted sign saying, "Help!" And it was like, is that all going to just go all over the roses now? But no. But it was the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to me. So, what the heck? Wedding disasters. Wedding whatever. Give us a call. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. And so many sort of famous weddings. Four weddings and a funeral. I mean, that film, it was sort of, I think it got a lot of traction because people were like, oh, you know, this is kind of a bit more real. You know, it's sort of, you know, sort of disasters and it all goes a bit wrong and stuff. But I think even that, it sort of failed to kind of really identify kind of the reality of marriage for a lot of people. I'm sounding very cynical tonight, but for a lot of people, I think.
And for the first time in my whole life, I realised I totally and utterly loved one person. And it wasn't the person next to me in the veil. It's the person standing opposite me now in the rain.
Is it still raining? I hadn't noticed.
Okay. We'll go in. But first, let me ask you one thing. Do you think, after we've dried off, after we've spent lots more time together, you might agree to move your yoga bag from the hall? Do you? It says I trip over it every morning, and it's really starting to hack me off.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if your bike wasn't there for us all to work around.
Well, where else am I supposed to put my bike? That's a stupid thing to say. And yoga's a little...
What? What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
You're so pathetic. You know that?
I'm pathetic. No, that's good. Keep going with that, you spiteful cow.
I'll see you tonight.
Fine.
Don't forget Steph's coming round.
Oh, brilliant.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, weddings. So, in the Daily Mail today, there's a story that Country Life magazine say that we're just going cray. We're going cray cray for the weddings, and we should just dial it back. And so, what's your worst wedding experience? I don't know. That's the question, isn't it? Is it Star? Star has got hi Star.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, good. You sound inordinately perky for 20 past 10 at night.
I'm a very big night owl, to be fair.
Are you?
Yeah.
Teach me, because I'm night two and I'm dying. And do you, what's your wedding experience? Did you, are you
well,
married?
Yeah, I am. I'm happily married, almost a year now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we sort of did it differently. We actually got married twice.
Come again?
Basically, we had a hand fasting.
You had a what now?
A hand fasting.
A hand fasting?
Yeah.
What's a hand fasting?
It's basically a pagan ritual where the bride and groom are fastened together by hand.
Oh, man. For how long?
Well, in the olden times, they would actually be fastened together for a year and a day.
What?
Yeah.
Because obviously my first thought, of course, was potty breaks. I mean,
well, yeah. In the olden times, they were fastened together for a year and a day. It was basically like the modern-day version of an engagement.
Right. I remember this. And then they'd be corked. Is that right?
And then basically, after a year and a day,
yeah,
if they can still stand to be around each other, then they would have an official wedding.
I see.
So,
how long did you rack up?
We've known each other for 15 years, almost 16 years.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we've been together for 3 years and married almost a year. So,
yeah, hang on, how long was your hand fasting?
For a year and a day.
You did not spend a year and a day tied together?
No, because in modern times nowadays, they don't actually make you stay together for that long, obviously.
Is it like those retractable dog leads? Are you?
No, basically, you make a witch's ladder.
What's a witch's ladder?
You make it out of wool. And you can attach different things to it that are sentimental to yourself.
Okay.
And then the
like my
they
cat.
Will use that.
Yeah.
Well, they're like little trinkets and things.
Oh, trinkets, yeah.
Yeah, and they use that to bind your hands together.
Okay.
While they're doing the ceremony.
Right.
Then once the ceremony's over.
Yeah.
Obviously, they untie you and they give you the witch's ladder.
So you didn't. You didn't. What you know?
No,
what I'm asking. You didn't have to go to the bathroom.
No.
You didn't have to do
no,
that.
No, no. In nowadays, they don't leave you together, obviously, because I think nowadays people won't be able to cope.
Could you cope? I mean, that's a serious kind of question, really. I think I could actually stay tied to Kim, my partner, for, you know.
Oh,
we could definitely do several months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me and my husband,
yeah,
we're almost tied at the hip all the time anyway.
Crikey.
You know, so
there's no need to brag about it. Oh, I see, right. I see.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just been one of those whirlwind things, really. We've been friends for such a long time.
Yeah. So
and
did
then we
you,
find out,
did you, you had this pagan thing, and then,
yeah.
And was that kind of like for you and your close friends or something? And then you did a more conventional one for your family? How did that work?
Basically, like, we had a couple of close friends and my mum came along for the hand fasting.
Right.
And then we had, obviously, the traditional wedding and, like, all the friends, family and everybody came to that as well.
Right. And what did you, what, where, what, was that in a church or a registry office or a...
Well, it was a bit of both, because it was basically a church that had been refurbished into a registry office.
What are the chances?
Exactly. So we had a bit of both, really.
And what food did you do? Did you have a reception? What was the food like?
Me and my mum and my sister, we did all the food, so it was like sort of, you know, as low budget as possible.
Yeah.
And it was just like a finger buffet, really.
Nice. What sort of things did people finger? Well, no, I mean, you know, what kind of... Was it things on sticks? Was it things in those weird little pastry things?
No, we did like sausage rolls, you know, the usual
nice.
Things.
Yeah, that's
sandwiches.
Good.
Sandwiches.
Yes, I respect that.
I did my own twist on, like... savoury rice, tuna and pasta.
Tuna and pasta, nice. That's a classic pagan. That's a classic pagan dish, isn't it? Tuna and pasta.
I mean, it's pretty average, to be fair.
How and when did you get into the pagan thing, or was it just something with the wedding?
No, my partner. He was born pagan. My partner was.
Wow.
I'm a, like sort of practicing Wicca. Okay. I got into paganism when I actually got with my husband, and I'm sort of practicing it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. This is great, because yesterday I was sort of saying, look, I want to be converted to a religion. Ken, a regular caller to, I'd say this show, but let's face it, anyone who'll have him on. Hi, Ken. Come on, we'll do it a bit later. He's a born again Christian, and he's trying to get God's love into me.
We had the conversation last night.
Yeah, even when I struggle, he's determined to sort of thumb it in. But so paganism's an interesting one. What's the belief? Because I think everyone sort of thinks they know what paganism's about, but they probably don't. I suspect.
Basically, paganism is where you feel that everything, doesn't matter what it is, everything has a spirit.
Okay.
The grass, the trees, you know, the clouds, everything.
Do you not feel like you've committed some kind of heinous crime when you eat a ratatouille, though? Know? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
no,
that's a lot of spirits that you've...
No, because what you do is, it's like, say if you was in a park.
Yeah.
And you want to go on the grass. You wouldn't just walk on the grass. You'd actually ask the grass if you was allowed to walk on it.
Okay, and how would you know if the grass was down with that?
You'd get a feeling. If you've got a feeling of, you know, no, I don't want to walk on there,
right,
then that means the grass is saying no, it doesn't want to be walked on.
Right. I got to ask a question. Do you, what's your diet like? What do you eat? Normal stuff?
Yeah. You're not like...
Chicken, tuna?
Anything, yeah.
So do you ask the tuna spirit, like, is it cool if I, like, haul you out of the water until your eyes pop out with the pressure change and then eat you?
Well, no. So, I mean, like, if you go back to, like, the true living of a pagan, then basically you would have to, grow your own vegetables, keep your own meat and things like that. You would live off the land.
Yes.
But in modern day times, it's a lot harder to do that nowadays.
Yeah, you live off the Nandos.
Than what it was back then.
Well, we did.
So it's sort of, you have to live the way you can.
I see. Are you uncomfortable with that? Do you find that difficult?
Yes and no. I do find it difficult that we can't basically, you know, grow our own food and things like that, because I would feel a lot better to do that. But it's sort of, we'll try and buy as fresh as possible whenever we can.
Yes.
So we know that it's, you know, it's freshly grown, and it's not, you know, grown in like a, when they pump it full of like chemicals and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, that's really interesting. I don't think I've knowingly ever spoken to a pagan before. I did once have, I was living in a place in Nottingham, and There was like, it was like a bedsit, basically. And the woman who cleaned the communal spaces told me she was a white witch.
And Oh, okay.
She told me I had a funny aura. And she would look at me and say, you are a... Look, if it sounds funny, it's because we've had to dump it. Kath, can I say the... Can I say bastard?
Right,
she'd say, oh, you're a bastard, you. I'd be like, what? She's like, your aura, I can tell. I was like, what?
Oh, okay.
So, that was interesting.
See, you can get some people that think they've, you know, that they're practicing it, but they sort of, they're not, if you know what I mean. They just think they are.
Mm. Well, I was 22 and I was very unhappy. I was doing a radio show, my first ever radio show, and I was doing 7 till 10 in the evenings. And so basically, I would just sort of spend all my time in this rather damp bedsit, which had been broken into the week I arrived, and they stole my video, watching Teletubbies on TV in my dressing gown, eating raw Pop-Tarts with the curtains drawn. But so I can imagine my aura probably had been compromised.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah,
I had not asked the spirits of the Pop-Tarts if it was cool. That's the thing. Star, it's been lovely to talk to you.
And you.
And thank you for sharing some of the pagan stuff with us. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested, just... Google it. Seriously, Google is your friend.
Google is your friend. I couldn't put it better myself. Thanks. Thank you very much, Star. It was lovely to talk to you. I've got to say, the only spirits that I knowingly ingest is Jack Daniels, and boy, I could do with one right now. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. We'll talk to Emily after this.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake Young, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It is Jake Yap in for Ian Lee for one night only. And we're talking about weddings. Apparently Country Life is saying it's too much, too big. Come on, calm down. And with that in mind, I was sort of thinking, you know, what? A, how do you feel? Did you have a big... When did you regret the money? I regret the money. Or... Just what's the worst disaster you've had? You know, like funny wedding stories. I have to say, probably the loveliest wedding I went to, apart from my mum and dad's, I'll tell you about that later. The loveliest wedding I went to was my friend Sally's. Sally's wonderful. And she had been with Andy, her partner, for a long time. They had two kids, like, and finally they were like, you know what, let's just get married, let's get married. And so we were all sitting there, the congregation, and we'd all known them for years, you know, and they're like, you know, they were a couple. They love each other. They row, they fight, they bicker like everybody, right? It was very real. It wasn't that sort of slightly fragile thing of young love, you know, where you're sort of seeing these two people sort of nervously walking up the aisle and thinking, are you guys going to make it? Are you? It's like, we know they're going to make it. They're stuck with each other now. It's too late. So it comes to the point where... The woman officiating at this ceremony in the Civic Hall in Brighton says, does anyone here know of any reason why these two should not be married? And there's always that little pregnant silence, isn't there? And their oldest friend, David, just very dryly penetrates the silence by saying, where to start? Three, 4 4 4 9 9 1000 is the number to call. Your hilarious wedding stories. Why not? Come on. Everyone's got one of those. Do you remember that time when your auntie's knickers fell down? Oh, 3 4 4 4 9 9 1000. That's the number to call. Let's talk to Emily. Hello. Thanks for waiting.
Hello, that's all right.
Oh, very lovely of you. We're talking about weddings and stuff. What's your story? What's going on with you?
Well, my story is kind of two parts in one. So I couldn't get behind the expensive wedding thing either. What we ended up doing was we had a group holiday booked for Florida with some friends.
Wow.
And I had a little guidebook and it said you could get married over there. So I had a look, and you can get married quite cheap over there.
Oh, wow.
So we ended up hijacking the holiday a bit. I was organising it anyway, so I was allowed to. And then, yeah, we got married on a beach in Florida for about £200, and that included a limo.
No way! I love that. It's like 190 for the limo and 10 bucks for the service.
Yeah, the ceremony on the beach. They didn't, you know, wasn't in a building or anything, just in the open air. And
crikey!
Photos ready to see some, like, gawkers having a look.
I was going to say, were loads of people staring?
Yeah, some people, like, it wasn't a busy time on the beach, but when people noticed, they kept their distance, but you can see them gathering and watching.
Because kind of the nice thing, I like America and I like Americans. I spent 2 years living in Washington, D.C., and I always feel like with Americans, they're always willing you to succeed. Like, they genuinely want, they've got a real team spirit of, like, let's do this. And I sometimes feel like in the U.K., listen, I'm speaking as a stand-up comedian, you feel like they're sitting there with their arms crossed, willing you to fail, right? And so I could imagine, actually, that could be quite a lovely moment. Like, if there were lots of Americans there watching you, did they all kind of whoop and cheer when, like, the moment came and you may now kiss
them? Yeah, at the end, like, we got little applause and things like that, and people...
I think that's rather charming. Like, do you?
It was nice. It was good. Like, given, like, we didn't have any family with us or anything. We just had... five of our friends.
Crikey. Now, so did your parents know you were doing this?
Yes, but this is part two of my thing. One of the reasons I didn't really want to get married over here is we still wouldn't be married today because I could never afford it.
Right.
And also, my parents, I was dreading my wedding day because my parents split up like 4 days before I started high school.
Oh.
And they could not be in a room together. I'm going to take a dark turn here, but both of them like a drink.
Right.
My dad liked a drink. He died last year.
Right.
And both of them reacted very differently to drink, but when put together, it was quite a volatile situation, and I just knew they would ruin my wedding day. So we had a reception for our family back here when we got back, and even that was on the cheap as well. I did all the food. It was a pub function room. It was a nice pub.
Yeah.
And we were upstairs. Stuff kicked off.
Oh, crikey.
One of the worst weddings. So, luckily, they didn't ruin our wedding day. So we still have that really nice day on the beach in Florida.
Yeah.
And a nice time.
It's kind of sad that your parents were still kind of caught up in that and they couldn't just lay it all aside just for you for that day, isn't it?
But that's my life, anyway.
Yeah. Do you feel like, in a way, you kind of had to become the adult within that sort of tree?
Since I was a child, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Listen, we're here till one.
but also, I managed to get the bar closed down at the pub as well.
How? Why? What?
Off, like, myself. Well, since my dad, like I said, he liked to drink, and his friends liked to drink.
Mm.
And his friends weren't invited.
Oh.
I had quite a limited capacity.
Right.
But they kept showing up. And they didn't. None of them had a clue who I was, even though I was back in my dress for photos and things.
Mm.
And it got to the point where so many of them had showed up, I said, look, no more of your friends could come up here.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
They weren't invited.
Yeah.
They're taking the free bar and the free food and things. And I felt like an ass for saying it.
Well, I got to say, like, with no disrespect intended, your dad sounds like he'd been an ass in bringing all these friends. I mean...
Yeah, that's what my husband says. I've always got a guilt thing about it. And then obviously when he died, I still felt guilty about it and things.
Is this some sort of insecurity thing? Was he sort of trying to rally a bit of support? Because did he feel... You know what I mean? Like, if he wasn't flavor of the month going in there, was he just trying to get a bit of courage up by having some
support? Yeah, I think it might be that because my parents didn't pay for the wedding. I paid for it myself. So,
and
I didn't ask him for a contribution or anything. So I think he wanted all his mates there to join in the day, even though he didn't introduce them to me or anything. But so anyway, when I said no more could come up, so he said, he stormed off, and they just stayed in the pub downstairs. So later on in the evening, I got a bottle of champagne, and I went down there just to make amends.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting at the table with them downstairs. And then one of them, this guy who wasn't invited and who spends a lot of his time on the street, like, begging and things. And so he wasn't particularly well-dressed, right, if you want to be stereotypical about it. But then he started insulting what my husband was wearing. We got married on the beach. So he was wearing, like, it wasn't a typical wedding suit. It was a suit, but it was, like, a linen sort of type thing. It was light.
Yeah.
It was a bit creased in the suitcase, but I didn't iron it, but never mind.
Look, it's linen. There's no point ironing linen, because the minute you put it on, it's going to turn into wrinkles. Like,
yes, yes.
I bet he looked very dashing.
He did. He did. And I did warn him. I gave him a warning. I said, I think you better stop there, because you're about to insult my husband. And he continued. And he had a full pint in front of him. And I thought, well, he had a warning. So I went to hit him where it hurts and take his drink away. So I knocked his drink. But at the time, I was doing Kung Fu, and I chopped his drink. And I smashed the glass in half.
No!
And the shards just went all over him. And,
oh, my God.
And the whole beer went over him.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
You are so badass.
I got the bar closed down.
That's amazing.
And then I had to go and explain to the bar, I'm sorry, that I had to tell him what happened, and they reopened it for us, but they went to say my dad's friend anymore.
Look, for the record, I think your husband is the best dressed man I've ever seen. Okay, please don't kung fu my pint. Do you think that with what happened with your parents and the way they were kind of stuck in that kind of almost time warp of, like, not moving on and, you know, falling back into that behavioural pattern, has that made you more determined to kind of work at your relationship and make a success of it, do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of, I suppose in a way, it's kind of shown me what's important, and then what, you know, not putting on the petty things. And it wasn't a nice environment to be around ever, like growing up, like even as adults when they were together doing it. So it has, it has taught me how not to behave.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
But wasn't pleasant, but at least I had my wedding day, and it was really nice, and we went to Disney, and it was good.
That sounds awesome. That sounds so awesome. I don't know if you've seen doing the rounds at the moment on social media. There's a clip of someone's dressed up. It's at Disneyland somewhere. Someone's dressed up as, I think, Pluto. And there's this group of deaf kids who've gone there, and like the woman who's like running the deaf group, she's like the supervising adult, and I think she's deaf, and she's trying to teach Pluto her name in sign language. And in sign language, Pluto just kind of signs back at her, and she doesn't know that Pluto can sign. And he's just kind of going, yeah, I know what your name is, blah, 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 in sign language and stuff. And this, just seeing her face, oh, man. That's a
I haven't seen it.
You'll cry buckets. I think Disneyland's amazing. Amazing. Well, Emily, thanks so much for telling us about yourself. Listen, you don't need me to say this, but I think you should be really proud of yourself. It sounds like you've figured all of this out really well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Plus, you can literally chop a pint glass in half with your hand, and that, if nothing else, commands respect.
CCTV or something. That would have been good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's one for social media. Thanks so much for talking to us this evening, Emily.
No problem.
Take care. All the best. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Really fascinating call. Star was talking earlier about hand fasting, where you tie yourself to your partner for a year and a day. And Hedy has tweeted, I had a hand fasting last night. Don't think I could keep it up for a year. Of course you could. We'll be back after this.
Thank you. In for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Good. Well, this is interesting. This is from Andrew. Good evening. He says, dear Jake, you're very funny, inventive, and you have a good repertoire of impersonations. I don't do impersonations. And thank you. That's very kind of you. He says, but, it's one of those sandwichy kind of texts. But your laugh sounds like someone stepping on a mouse. I love that.
So self-consciously laughing now. It's as if you are told off for laughing when young and you hold yourself back from having a good guffaw. More guffaws, please. Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. That's very sweet of you. I sort of try not, because I don't want to be, like, overly self-indulgent, you know? Sometimes you feel like, if I'm chuckling away, you know, I'm not paying enough attention to the show, am I? I'm not getting on with the, you know, all the doings and all of that. And Wadj on Twitter, W-A-J. It's Wadj, presumably. Wadj. Hi there. I'm listening in from Manchester on the app. Great show. Thank you, Wadj. Has Ian gone to America now? No, Ian's fine. He's here tomorrow. We're all being well. Yeah, he's fine. Just a bit poorly. Let's talk to Jem, shall we? Hello, Jem.
Hi, Jake.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a lot better than I was at 12:15.
Oh, yeah. So you called us last night, 12:15, just as your three-year-old... Is it three?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, Grace walked in.
Yep.
What a treat for you. Did she go off all right after that?
Not really.
No. Crikey, was that the start of your day then, 12:15?
No. Fortunately, she'd go off eventually, and it wasn't me. Fortunately, it was Rachel, my wife, dealing with her. So,
Crikey.
So yeah, I sort of got off a bit scot-free on that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. That's brutal.
But you were quite right to rush me off to bed, as I was. Wasn't really giving my best, I think, fair to say.
No, you were on fire. I just felt like, you know, you were giving too much, Jem. You can give too much. So we're talking about this story that Gumtree Life is saying you should not be so flashy with your weddings.
Yeah.
And stuff, and sort of asking for hilarious wedding stories, or, you know, do people regret the money they spent and all the rest of it? And people can phone up just like you, 03444991000. What's your funny? What's your wedding business? Your wedding business?
What's my wedding business?
What's your business? My days.
I'm probably paling into insignificance after Emily. But
That was a good one. Yeah,
that was amazing. It just sort of made me think of a couple of little things that have happened with various weddings over the years. Yeah. My own wedding, I absolutely loved, and I don't regret having spent any of that money at all.
It was the best
over 10 years.
£17 you ever.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not saying I'm a cheapskate or anything, but
no one's saying that.
We made all of our own stationery, which, if I never see a heart-shaped foil punch again in my life, it will be too soon.
Let's go to Hobbycraft.
Yeah.
Let's spend 800 quid on card and glue.
Yep.
And then, yeah.
It's the punches, and the punches actually turns out they wear out after a while as well, so you have to go and buy new ones. Try and sharpen them up with tin foil. That didn't work.
Oh,
and then
dear.
We had to go and buy a load of new ones. So half the fun with the wedding was the preparation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Half the fun.
Half the fun. Well, the number of wedding fairs that I went to.
Really? Gosh, you went all out with the research and everything.
Well, yes. Yeah, Rachel's quite thorough.
That's good.
On stuff. She likes that sort thorough. Of thing.
It's
Although
good.
I think possibly also had something to do with the fact that at, 10 years ago was probably sort of the height of sophistication for a wedding, where it was a chocolate fountain.
Yes.
Which therefore required us to research chocolate fountains.
I have no problem with that.
Her favourite thing to do was to just sort of do loops around the tasters at chocolate fountains at wedding fairs.
Did you not ever want to just lie down under one?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of effectively. It's like chocolate board yourself.
Definitely instead possible, of, I reckon. You've just got to try and get the people who are running the stall to look the other way a moment.
Yeah. Just put a towel over your head. Let it pour over you. I mean, what a way to go.
Well, apparently at our wedding, I didn't actually witness this, but we did go for the chocolate fountain, unsurprisingly, being fashionable people.
Oh, yeah.
And allegedly, as it was closing up for the night, one of my more rural cousins decided to see what it would be like if he put a sausage in there. That's not a euphemism.
Yeah, okay, that's a relief.
There was a barbecue, it was an actual genuine
orc
sausage. That's getting worse, isn't it?
Did he prick it?
I'm not aware as to whether or not he prepared his sausage in any way before he...
It's very important to...
Before he entered it under
Before he pushed it into the chocolate fountain.
Before he thumbed it in. No, hang on. You probably don't do that with the chocolate fountain, do you?
There's nothing... Yeah, none of this is okay.
No, it's not, is it?
And now,
I apologise unreservedly.
And now I'm laughing like a trodden-on mouse.
that was harsh. I think
it was fair. I think
it was
fair.
That's not a comparison I've ever made, but... But there we go. But yeah, so yeah, I loved our wedding, the traditional church, and it, the main thing I liked about it was the fact that sort of it was everyone that we liked and loved, and a few people that probably were largely indifferent to.
Were there a few duds?
Oh, of course there were. Yeah. I mean, you know, various people that sort of suddenly split up with their long-term partner about a month before the wedding and said, "Oh, I can bring my other partner." Yeah, lovely.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I thought I was doing a hilariously funny joke once. I went to, I had a girlfriend and her best friend was getting married, and we went to the wedding, and it was kind of an amazing wedding. It was in an amazing place. This was when I was living in the States, and it was down in Georgia, at this place where I think the first ever international telegraph had been sent. This amazing sort of estate. And anyway, so there was a sort of, people were saying, "Oh, let's get a photo. Let's get a photo. Let's get a photo of all the friends of whatever her name was. I can't remember her name." And we're all standing there, and I thought this was a hilarious joke. You know, I'm all a bit drunk and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, "I tell you what, let's make all the boyfriends stand just very slightly apart so that you can just cut them out of the photo really easily if they ever break up." And no one laughed.
Oh dear.
And
no, my youngest sister's wedding. I've got three sisters,
mm-hmm.
and at her my youngest sister's wedding, I'd only been going out with my now wife, my wife, for about 3 months. They nearly didn't invite her.
Wow!
But it was probably the only time I've ever put my foot down with my family.
Crikey.
And got her invited. But yes, she had to stand on the end for photographs.
No,
half a foot apart.
Are you serious?
Yes. But the worst or best bit about that wedding, you know, obviously I love my family.
Of course.
But it was an enormous wedding. It was about 150 people in the day and another couple of hundred in the evening. It was absolutely huge.
Wow.
And during the speeches, my dad actually managed to say the name of the wrong sister.
Oh!
Which was a bit of a cringe moment.
Oh, man.
But also chuckling, and then started to regale an anecdote about another different sister.
No way.
Yeah, he didn't do well.
Was he trying to do it off the cuff, or was he freestyling?
No.
No!
It was a written speech.
Oh, crikey.
He just had absolutely no idea. Even though he paid for the whole thing, I still don't quite understand. I suppose he's one of those fathers. Of a particular age as well, as I'm the youngest of the four.
I guess after a while, once you've done a few weddings for you.
Yeah, it's all your kids meld into one. If we're being shouted for in the house, there was a list of names, and sort of I always came at the end. Well, I came after the dog, actually. All three of my sisters first, and the dog, then me.
Oh, dude.
I knew my place.
You need to read, have you ever read The Bagthorpe Saga by Helen Cresswell?
No.
It's a lovely series of books.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, almost tooth-rottingly middle class, but it's fabulous. It's about a family, and it's like a sort of. There's about four kids, and they're all really, really talented, except for this one boy. And he's like, I haven't got any discernible skills. I don't know what I'm doing. And there's a dog, and he sort of tries to train the dog, and it doesn't really work. It's really lovely stuff. It's very
really
funny.
Does sound very, it sounds a lot like why I can't watch The Inbetweeners, because it's just far too close to home.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have watched that and just winced a little bit. Just like,
yeah, especially as I had a briefcase at school as well.
There you go.
And as soon as people at work found that out, that was the end. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it.
Yeah, it's like finding a hole in your tooth, isn't it? That's a horrible moment, you poor thing. Ah, Jem, it's lovely to talk to you. Are you feeling good with Grace tonight? Do you think she's going to stay down?
I'm going on the principle that she's got to be absolutely shattered after last night. Because she also then, after she did go back to sleep, she then came in our bed at about 3 or 4 o'clock. So I'm thinking, she must, surely.
Yeah.
At least have some vague attempt of going through the night tonight. We've been bribing her with mini eggs. Just the moment she's actually managed one night.
Oh, I see, right.
Something full of Cadbury's mini eggs. And it just, yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. I've got a packet pinned up above her door.
Well, that's just going to make her crazy. Good luck, Jem. Our hearts go with you.
That was Gem in Bristol. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. We're talking about just funny wedding stories, really, wedding disasters and all the rest of it. Why don't you give us a call? Go on, why not?
Talk Radio.
The world's gone mad. I don't know what's going on with hummus. I can't handle it. I mean, half the people are saying it's over. Half the people are saying it's fine. I just don't know who to believe. I mean, North Korea, fine, but hummus, guys, hummus. Guys, hummus, guys. Guys, hummus, yeah?
Jake in for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I like that pause there before she said her name. She says, I'm... Come on, cool. Speaking of pregnant pauses, I used that phrase earlier, and Dave tweeted, why is it called a pregnant silence? What's quiet about a pregnancy? Yeah. I think it's more, you know, the waiting for the moment. Speaking of waiting for the moment, hey, let's all just wish a very happy wedding to Matthew and Corrine, who are getting married tomorrow. They're regular listeners to my Sunday show here on Talk Radio, and they've been very kind, lovely contributors. And they're tying the knot tomorrow. What could possibly go wrong? We've been talking about expensive weddings. Apparently, weddings are getting more expensive. People are spending more money. They're getting more lavish. Country life has described it as an arms race. I need to go bigger. I sort of slightly wonder... Wow, I'll bring that in later. Do you think this is related to the proliferation of pink and blue toys? Like, isn't this just like capitalism egging us on? I'm sort of forming a half-baked theory in my mind. If anyone wants to, like, finish it for me, that'd be brilliant. 0344 499 1000. I haven't got the muscles anymore. Liz says, I got married in 1986 before the stupidity. Yeah, that's right, I said stupidity! Therefore, I'm smug as I had a normal-priced wedding. I.e. cost next to nought. I think my parents got married. I think my parents got married in about that time. I was the page boy. Mum made me some velvet trousers, and Dad made the cake, and Mum decorated it with my Playmobil. It was all my friends. Like, it was all their friends, and they had little speech bubbles and stuff. It was really cool. I remember there was a ladder. Alex said the biggest kick in the, you know, was paying £250 for our wedding cake, and everyone ate the cheap cupcakes instead. I was eating that cake for weeks. Liz says, oh man, why did you give them a choice? Eat the expensive cake, people. 0344 499 1000 if you'd like to share your wedding disasters, or, you know, just lovely memories of weddings, please, here on the greeting card channel. No, I mean, that's the nice thing about weddings, is sort of there's lots of cameras and lots of drink, really, and it's always carnage, isn't it? I mean, there are certain things that have to happen. There's always like scandal, isn't there, at a wedding? I know people who, yeah, they were quite upset. There were some scandals at their wedding, and they were really upset. I was like, isn't that the hallmark of a great wedding? I mean, did you, you know, if everyone just like behaved themselves and then went home, is that necessarily a good wedding? I don't think so. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. It's time now, guys, to talk to not just a man who is so determined to, something's making a noise in here. I don't know what it is. Oh, weird. Hang on. Sorry about this. This is, I don't know if you can hear that. I bought this thing, right? It's, this is in my bag. It must have been lent on. Are you digging my beats?
It's called, it's made by a company called Teenage Engineering. And it's like a little pocket calculator, but it makes synthy noises. Sorry about that. How professional. Anyway, it's time now. Speaking of let's talk to a guy who has... I'm touched that he's phoned. I'm touched by this guy. He calls steadfastly, doggedly. He hangs in there, you know, no matter whatever happens. And I have a lot of affection for him. I'm very fond of this man, you know, and I know that we do a bit of tweaking of each other's tails, but it's all in fun. And I hope in the spirit of respectful, you know, badinage that look, he's determined to get God's love into me, however much I struggle. He's born again, but he was born a Ken. Will you please?
Ken is on the telephone.
Be upstanding.
Let's all talk to Ken.
How was that?
Oh, you're an awful man, Jake. You're an awful man.
Yeah, I'm going to hell. But it's going to be okay, Ken, because last night you said that you would torture the devil to death.
No, I didn't say that.
You did say that? We can play the tape. Have we got the tape? You said you would...
God is going to punish him, torture him in hell. Yes, it's prophesied in the Bible, in the lake of fire. But, Jake, I would like... There was a young lady on tonight, the pagan, young pagan lady, speaking about...
Yeah, she was pagan, yeah.
Can I just mention a few things here? We used to live in Canada... We used to do a lot of evangelism amongst the native people, the Blackfoot Indians and the Sioux Indians in Canada.
Yeah.
And what that young lady was talking about is actually pantheism. And that is the national religion of Indians in North America and in the USA.
North American natives.
Yes. Yeah. It's the worship of the... creation. So I had good friends who had become Christians, and one of them was a pastor, and he explained it to me what actually it is. Pastor. What they do over there in the Blackfoot, especially, they have what they call sweat lodge. They dig a hole in the ground, then it leaves over it, grass over it.
Gas Mark 4.
And they have heated stones inside the lodge.
Olive oil, garlic, rosemary.
They sweat. Yeah. But what they do, Jake, is they go in and they call upon themselves the spirit of the bison, the spirit of the eagle, the wolf, and all it's actually very demonic.
It's so demonic?
Occultic, very, very dangerous. And
why is it dangerous? I mean, you know, what's dangerous about like saying hi to a bison's spirit? Hi, bison.
No, well, actually, there are demonic spirits who respond to that, Jake, and come actually inside the person, and they
come
possessed.
Inside the person.
Yes, and they can be possessed by demons.
Would you? So you wouldn't want a bison to come inside you, right? That would be.
It's the spirit of the bison. It's an occultic spirit. This is happening today in North America. They still do it.
Yeah.
It's a very dangerous practice. So that young lady, if she's listening, I would just encourage you, young lady, you be careful about that. And I would encourage you, be a pagan if you want, but I would encourage you to read the Bible and see what God has to say.
Well, the Bible's got some wonderful quotes, hasn't it? Psalms 81:10. Ken, have I shared that with you before?
No, you go ahead.
Psalms 81:12-10. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it.
Right.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not with bison spirit, obviously. That would be...
Yes, that would be wise words from God.
That would make me a cult.
Right. But listen, Jake...
We're getting off the point now, which was, can you separate a work of art from its socio-political context? Go.
Here we are, the most important news story for today, Jake.
The hummus! No.
What do you think it is?
The hummus!
No.
If you're vegan, it's the hummus. All right, what's the biggest story today?
Most important story today,
the
Jake,
rabbit.
Is
it was the bunny.
Mr. Trump is... possibly even at this very moment in the States, he's holding a very important meeting with over 100 U.S. senators to discuss the problem in North Korea.
Oh, yeah, and North Korea, yeah, that one.
And Mr. the Vice President, Mike Spence, he has just been
Mike
in
Spence.
Mike Pence.
Yeah.
He has just been in a trip to Japan and South Korea to talk to the leaders there.
Yeah, lol.
And it looks like to me, and I'm only guessing here, I could be wrong.
Yeah, let's guess.
I'm guessing that what Mr. Trump and the U.S. are doing at the moment, they're preparing Japan and South Korea for a possible preemptive attack against North Korea. And when they're speaking to these U.S. senators, 100 of them at the White House, I think Mr. Trump is preparing them and asking their viewpoints and how they would feel if the country made a preemptive strike against...
A preemptive attack is kind of like an attack.
Yes.
Isn't it? Should we all pray?
Well, you should pray daily, surely. A wise man seeks the Lord, Jake. But listen, this is not a joke.
I tell you what, listen. No, I know it's not. I'm not saying it's a joke. I tell you what, can I bring in someone else for you to talk to, Ken?
If you want, yes, sure.
This is G, who I believe is the husband of Star, who did some hand fasting, but didn't involve any lavatorial business. Hello, G.
Hello, Jake.
Hi, it's lovely to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Can I just say...
Yeah.
A preemptive attack, as Ken just stated, is actually thinking about attacking someone and then actually attacking someone. Now, Ken just attacked my wife's beliefs. Is that not wrong as a Christian?
Ken?
Are you asking me that question, G?
I think he probably is, yeah.
No, Gia, I'm not attacking. I'm giving a warning in love about dangerous practices.
You're warning me about what, sorry?
The danger
You're
of...
You're warning me about my pagan beliefs.
Yeah,
pantheism. I am pagan, by the way.
Pantheism is a very, very dangerous practice, Gia.
No, paganism.
Can I just say, sorry, I just want to break in here. Ken, you say it's a dangerous practice. By saying that, what you're kind of saying is that it works. Like, what you're saying is that paganism is a real thing that is responded to on some higher level. So, in a way, you're actually endorsing G's beliefs, Ken.
I'm not endorsing it, but they actually work. There are demonic forces, satanic forces. Listen, I have been with the Native people in Canada for a 10-year period. I know they've told me all about it.
They
it is extremely
it.
Dangerous.
Yeah, every minute.
Ken, can I just interject for 1 second, please?
Sorry.
Go for it. Go for it, G.
Can you explain to me what Yuletide is?
What's Yuletide, Ken?
Yuletide, well, that's a pagan practice, isn't it?
Yes. And when is Yule? When is our Yuletide practice, as you call it?
Well, what about it?
It's around about Christmas, when I would have
Christmas
said.
Time, yeah, it's about Christmas time, yeah.
It's about Christmas, yeah? Would you like to explain where the Christians got Christmas from?
From pagans. Christmas is not a Christian celebration, it's a pagan celebration.
Now like to explain where Easter comes from?
Pagans, not Christian. It's actually Passover.
You just answered every single question every single person has ever asked about Christianity.
Hang on, G. I want to understand from Ken. Are you saying, do you not celebrate Christmas or Easter then, Ken?
No, they don't.
I celebrate Passover at Easter time, using that English word, to remember
Passover.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's the most important
Passover.
Time.
Right.
Passover.
Please explain Passover to the non-Christian and non-pagan community. Please explain Passover.
Yes.
Oh, fancy a pint.
Passover comes from the Old Testament period, G. It is when God commanded the people of Israel, when they were brought out of
G, gin and tonic.
That there was a destroying angel would come over every home, and only the homes which had the blood of a spotless lamb sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels, the angel would bypass that family, and all the other families, the firstborn of the family would be killed. And the only ones who were prepared were the people of Israel, and God brought them out of the...
Well, it was a very different climate in those days, wasn't it? I mean, you know, society was very different. It's like...
No, but this is an important thing here. This is an important thing, Jake. But this was
a paganistic ritual.
Gee, let me...
Now, Ken has already stated that two of the Christian holidays that he has stated come from paganism. Now, paganism is the oldest religion that man can follow.
Can I ask both of you a question, which is, who do you find more annoying, each other or me, who doesn't believe in either of what you guys believe in?
Well, let me answer that.
Myself.
First of all, seriously,
let me answer this, because I can answer it.
You can both have a go, it's okay.
Okay, go ahead, G.
Okay, you go first, G.
I find myself questioning Ken, and I find myself questioning you.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's questioning themselves right now.
I understand why I question you, Jake.
Yeah.
Because as a radio presenter, I understand what that consists of.
Okay.
I understand you. I understand all radio presenters, whereas... they do a job.
It's a bold claim. I mean, there's some I don't understand.
They are biased to a degree.
Yeah.
As in, they present an argument without knowing the outcome of the argument, but having an agenda to defend or deflect that argument.
I don't necessarily have an agenda, actually. I mean, I don't. I don't know as much about paganism as I do about Christianity, because it's a more dominant religion here. But
let me explain that a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, because we're starting to crash our brakes here, so it's all getting a bit. We need to resolve this. So
could I just add Ken, before we close here?
So Ken, I was asking, who do you find more annoying, me or G?
No, I don't find any of you annoying. I'm enjoying this little discussion here. But I would like to just finish the thought about Passover. The Passover was the lamb, which was the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost.
What about to protect Passover?
Let me explain it, G. Let me explain this. This is very important.
Passover is a completely different religion to Christianity, to paganism.
Look.
This was a foreshadow of the divine Messiah who would come from heaven, and he would shed his blood for the sin of the world on the cross at Calvary. So Passover time is a time to remember the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, which was shed for the sin of the world. He would die, not an animal, but God in flesh, would die for our sins and be raised from the dead. That's what Passover is about, and they call it Easter, but Easter is a pagan name.
Okay. Well, guys, I think you've both answered the question perfectly well with your answers. Thank you both. Gee, I really appreciate you getting in touch to respond to that. And Ken, I'm afraid we do have
God
to leave it there.
God bless you, Gee. God bless your wife, Gee. God bless you and your wife for salvation.
Do not bless me.
There we go.
Thanks, Ken.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
See, a lot of people are quite disparaging about talk radio sometimes. I don't mean talk radio the station, I mean like speech radio. Yeah, they sort of say, oh, it's just a lot of hot air and stuff. But, you know, we've resolved which is the one true religion of the universe. At 20 past 11 at night on a Wednesday. I mean, I think that's fantastic. Hello, it's Jake Yap here, in for Ian Lee. He's got tonsillitis. He's fine. He's fine. I mean, it sucks, but he's fine. Alex says, love this utter nonsense on talk radio right now. Good, I'm glad. I'm glad you... French Tickler says, bison must have some load on them. I don't know what I mean. Nat said he was glad he didn't miss Ken. I know, I would miss Ken. That's the thing, you'd miss him. You'd miss him if you didn't phone. I would. It takes up, you know, 20 minutes time. CJ, how are you?
How are you? You know, I had that entire debate down my ear on the phone.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. wow.
It was good. It was heated, and I think we reached real consensus. There's a bit of an echo on this line. Have you got me either on speakerphone or some elaborate thing of... Can you hear that echo too?
I can't hear it.
Do you know what, CJ? Can we call you back? No, we can't call him back. Shall we call him back? We shall call him back. We're going to try you again. Sorry, CJ.
All right.
It's just that otherwise I'm going to do that. You know that thing when you phone someone up and you can hear yourself back and you start doing that? I was going to start doing that. Anyway, 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. We've been talking about sort of wedding stuff. Matthew is getting married tomorrow. Ace says, my first wedding cost next to nothing. Was Ace. My second wedding cost £50,000 and lasted 3 months. Third time lucky. Good luck tomorrow, Matthew. Hope that goes well. Alex replied, there will be plastic pint glasses at this event of yours. Oh, no, that was to me. Yeah, I'm doing live shows in June at the Soho Theatre, if you're interested. 13th and 14th of June. CJ, let's try again. That sounds better.
It does, doesn't it? Well, it sounds exactly the same for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I just mean you sound, but you sound more... You sound like you're more ready for this, you know?
Oh, I'm always ready, you know.
You want this. I can sense your hunger.
I'm half asleep, but, you know, God.
How are you? How are things? Do you want to talk about weddings or something else?
Never been to a wedding.
Never been to a wedding?
Never been to a wedding.
Well done.
Things keep popping up. I never get them.
Oh, right, so you get invited, but just... Yeah. Just come.
Something always happens.
I'd love to... That's a good move.
Anyway, you know, because it's been a bit of... That debate was quite stressful.
It was stressful.
Yeah, I've got an idea. I think we should try and do some relaxation and meditation.
That's a great idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do I try it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the position I want you to take now is hands in the air.
Okay.
And cross your legs.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got the nice, relaxing music. Now I want you to take a deep breath in through your mouth.
Oh, hang on.
Let's try that again. In through your mouth.
Yep.
And out through your bum hole. Let's try that again. In through your mouth and out through
your bum hole.
Now,
you're such a mischief.
Don't you feel bare?
I kind of do, though. It sort of slightly sounded like you'd started your moped in the Big Ben clock tower.
I spoke to Toby today.
Toby Hadoki.
The,
I would say, perhaps universal preeminent expert on Doctor Who.
It's amazing because I said Jake's doing cover shows at the moment. Mm. And he said, that's weird because I was thinking about Jake yesterday.
How bizarre.
Yeah, I know. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And I sent him the link to the show, so he might tune in.
He won't tune in. I mean, he's got better things to do, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, watch those, because you're a Doctor Who fan. Have you gone right the way back? Have you watched? Because I tried to be a completist. I tried to watch all the Doctor Whos, including the ones where they'd lost the video, but they had the audio, and they tried to recreate it with production stills, just photos.
Seen quite a lot of them. Tom Baker was fantastic with Genesis of the Daleks. Peter Davison was good. Colin Baker was a bit of a pain. No one liked him, but I thought it was brilliant. You know, he was moody. That's what it needed.
Did you feel like... I felt like Tom Baker, obviously, he's probably, you know, one of the most beloved Doctor Who's and a fine comedic actor, generally.
Absolutely.
But I felt like whenever his sidekick, which was invariably a woman, fainted, he'd sort of pick her up by sort of the side of her breast. It was a different time and all that, you know, but...
He's taking abreast of the situation.
Is that fair? I think that's fair. Just what I saw, anyway. So you've never been to a wedding?
Never been to a wedding. it's just one of those things that's just never happened.
Yeah.
It's been a weird day, though.
Yeah, go on, why?
Well, I was tweeting in some semi-nude pictures to James Whale before. That was interesting.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Did he appreciate that?
Oh, yeah, he responded on the air for them.
Oh, yeah. Good, yeah, I bet.
He did a nice descriptive detail of what he was seeing.
Audio described.
Yeah, it was nice that, you know, it's not often that happens, you know, for a radio presenter.
Did you use a Dalek body double?
No. I used a model of the Titanic, though, to hide my gentleman bits. So.
Please don't send me. And that's not that please don't, oh, go on then, really. Please don't.
I did. Already said it.
Brilliant. Well, yeah. I will definitely...
Not look at it.
Definitely swerve that. CJ, yep. It's been lovely to talk to you.
You too.
You take care. You can go to sleep
now. I will bloody try.
Yeah, you do your best, mate. Breathe in through your mouth. After this message, we're going to talk to Julie.
Jake Yap, in for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, we do. So sharp on the beds today. There's lots of stuff I haven't got to in the papers, you know. I can just read you out, because I have to leave little tabs, because you can't cut holes in the papers. It's the rules here. So I get little post-it thumb notes. So I'll read you the tabs out, and you can just vote for what you want me to go off on one about. That's my job, right? Flying car. Cuddle. Nick Knowles. Cast your vote now. 8722, starting text message with the word talk. Flying car, cuddle, or Nick Knowles. Or at Talk Radio on the Twitter, it's cheaper, free. In the meantime, well, we've been talking about weddings. Let's talk to Julie on 0344-499-1000. Hello, Julie. Ooh, no, that's the wrong fader. Sorry. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you receiving me? Over.
Come in.
Come in.
I was just going to say there was a...
Hello.
A slight... delay on this satellite. There's a delay on the satellite. What? I was going to say, there. Yeah.
It's Norman Collier.
That's right. Wow. We're still making that joke. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Now there's a delay. About 15 years. 15 years too late for that joke. Yeah. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Hello. I'm awesome. Thank you.
Awesome.
I'm just amazed that people are forgetting, concerning the cost of a wedding and the cost of going as a guest, people are forgetting that you get to witness the phenomena that can only be seen at weddings.
Which is?
A grown man with a tie around his forehead.
Really? You see, Bromley, Southeast London.
No, not just Bromley. Come on, it has to be a phenomenon everywhere where at the end of the evening everyone's had a drink and the men tie their ties around their heads.
You're right. You're absolutely. It's a great look. I kind of wish Hugh Edwards would do the news at 10.
Yeah.
Just once, man. Wouldn't it be great?
Yes,
all the robotic cameras just tracking in, and, you know, suddenly the studio director actually bothers to look up and goes, what's happened to Hugh?
That would be fantastic. But I actually phoned up to share a story of the best man speech.
Oh, really?
Redact for decency purposes, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And that was, I went to a friend's wedding and we knew the guy getting married and his brother, who was the best man. And he started off his best man speech, which was purely aimed at the audience of friends rather than relatives.
Oh, no.
And he did the classic, being asked to be best man is like being asked to make love. But the F word, the Queen Mum, it's a great honour, but no one wants to do it.
Crikey.
And then followed it with, I would also like to be the first person to say the words, and then he dropped the C-bomb at a wedding. Oh,
that's impressive.
Well, I'm not sure the word impressive.
On a sort of nihilistic level, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah, so there are a few aunts who... raise eyebrows, to say the least. But, you know. Wow. Yeah, it's got to be done, surely. Surely.
Here's what I'm going to say to you, Julie, all right? And I'm saying this as someone who loves his country, right? I love my country, all right? If you love your... Right. If you love your country, right, who is the fittest woman in the world? The Queen. If you love your... If you love your country, the Queen, fittest. Right? Second fittest Queen Mother. God rest her. If you love your country, come off it. If you love your country, you've got to admit, the Queen is the fittest woman in the world, followed by the Queen Mother. Fact.
Do you know what? I've never heard anybody say that.
You're listening to Ian Lee. Oh, dear.
But yeah, so I think everyone's kind of... You're missing the fact that you have these wonderful opportunities for drunkenness and, you know, some kind of... There's always some kind of fisticuffs. Yeah. And, or something.
Fisticuffs. Because are you... Am I right in thinking you're married?
I am married, yeah.
Yeah. How is yours?
It was... I didn't much enjoy being the bride. I would have preferred to have been a guest because you have to kind of mingle and smile and whatever. Yeah. Whereas I would prefer to have been... I've been a guest, if I'm honest.
I had a really...
I've been married for... I don't know, how many years have I been married? Yeah, 19 years, 20 years. And I've been with my husband since we were 15, so like 30 years.
Crikey. Is that dog years? Because that's really impressive.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I had a really dear friend. She was actually my boss when I worked in America. She's really lovely. And she was getting married. And it was one of those things where she was sort of doing it kind of because, you know, she sort of, it was more for her family than for her. You know what I mean? It was one of those.
Yeah,
but she planned this really nice ceremony and stuff. And I think she told me afterwards, she was like, I really wanted to invite you. And I sort of felt this kind of weird loyalty thing because I felt like if I invited you, then I was going to have to invite other people that I worked with.
Yeah, you do.
And all of that. And
to,
it was just too...
To the group.
And she was like, so I didn't invite you and I regret that now. And because it was hard because we were really, really close. And we'd kind of worked through a lot together and stuff. And I said to her, look, I want you to have a great wedding, but you have to do something for me. And she said, what? I said, when you've got married... You've had the service and you're standing there and everyone is standing there taking photos of you. For me, you just have to suddenly just say, stop looking at me. Yeah. And she, yeah. I said, you swear, you have to swear. And she said she did it, but very quietly. Yeah, stop looking.
I don't believe her, Jake.
In a way, makes it worse. No, she's very, she was scrupulously honest and truthful. That was the thing. If she said she did it, I believe her.
Yeah,
I believe.
But yeah, there's a lot of kind of.
Do you think for some people, like for some weary. People, I think a wedding is a way of buying your way into quasi celebrity for a day, isn't it? I mean, it's like you're paying to become a VIP for the day, and some people they really get off on that. They love that, and for me, I don't see the point really.
I mean, I do like being the centre of attention. It's just no mystery. But I wanted to be a guest at my wedding rather than be kind of having to, make small talk with great aunts that I've never seen and things like that. So, so I think the main thing is the men dancing with ties around their heads and their shirts unbuttoned to their belly buttons.
I'm trying to think if there's a female equivalent to that. I'm not sure there is.
I would just say it would be shoes off.
Oh, shoes off, isn't it? It's the shoes off.
Shoes off and handbags in the middle of the floor.
Hilariously, in real time, as you said that, like as the words came out of your mouth, but almost preempting them, Catherine mimed that through the glass.
See? Tell no lies. Yeah, Catherine knows what I'm talking about.
You tell no lies at all. And Julie, what was this? You said something on Twitter about how much did you pay? Because I was saying, it's a lot of money for guests, right? And I said, I was just making it, I plucked a figure, I said 250 quid. But how much are you, paying?
Well, the thing is, one of my friends that I went to school with, she's getting married, but she's getting married in Cyprus.
Oh, come on.
So, it's one of those things where, I don't have to go, but I would like to go. But then that means that I'm paying to go to her wedding, so I'm making it, instead of just going to Cyprus for a day, which would be stupid, going for 5 days.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go for 5 days. So, but my husband said, well, I'm not paying, I'm not going. So I'm just going on my own, making it for 5 days, going all inclusive, and that's 1,600 quid.
1,600 quid?
It's a nice hotel. I want to be in the same hotel as the wedding.
No, I respect that. Bloke's charging about with the ties on the head is only funny for a little while, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Ah, Julie, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Jake.
And speak to you soon.
Yes.
All right, take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Just a reminder that we will be... I'm just sort of a production meeting on air. We will be closing... Yes, Catherine, we will be closing out the show with some more of your... some more erotica. And I'm just going to take a unilateral decision tonight. I think we're going to go for In the Slammer. The prison-based... was Orange is the New Black, that sort of thing? Okay, well, Brown is the New Orange. Right, we'll have more after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That's good, man.
So funny.
Ah?
What's he talking about?
Ma?
What are you saying?
Ah, sorry?
What are you saying?
No, I can't.
Not you.
What are you saying?
Him.
Edward.
Id.
Nothing. He's just,
What?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
Well done, Ed.
What have you done, Ed?
He's just joined a, Pagans for Jesus.
Oh.
He's... Basically, I just emailed him the erotica for 12:45.
Oh, okay. So he's...
And so he was trying to distract you because you can see the same computer screen
as
him. So he didn't want you to see any of the prose ahead of time so that you'd be reading it cold.
That would spoil it, wouldn't it?
Well, the thing is, anticipation is everything, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Isn't this game?
Sometimes it could be a massive letdown.
But that's what I mean. It's everything. The actual thing is just a horrific anticlimax.
Yes.
So earlier I was asking people if what story from the paper they were most interested in. We have Flying Car, Cuddle and Nick Knowles. And, Alex said, I want to hear the story about the Flying Car cuddling Nick Knowles, please. Come on, you can't. That's a cop-out. That's a total cop-out. But Ari said, it's the cuddle story all the way.
Ari.
Cheers, Ari. Thanks for texting. This is from the Daily Mirror. Kath?
Go on.
Want to feel happy?
Always.
Give us a cuddle.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? A simple cuddle. Just a cuddle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well. It's the best way to feel happy, research has shown. It's among the 432 times Britons feel chipper in a year. Eight times a week, Kath, would you say you feel chipper? When's the last time you felt chipper? Reasonably chapped.
I'm not sure what chipper is. Happy.
Wow. I want to know what chipper is.
I'm all right. I bob along.
Can I throw some other happy moments at you?
Go on.
Apparently, a box set binge with family.
Never happens. I never get the telly for that long. We've only got one telly in my house. That's weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
Yeah, but we decided...
I've got, like, more than one in some rooms.
Really?
No.
We decided we'd only have one because it encourages compromise. What it actually encourages is the children to hide the remotes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's like saying, well, we thought we'd limit food resources to promote cooperation. Are you kidding? What else? A sing-song in the car.
Yes, I enjoy that. The kids don't enjoy it because
chip
it's
you right
generally
up?
Me.
Oh, I bet you're a great singer.
Well, I'm a loud singer.
And sitting down to... Wow, what decade... Guys, it's the 90s. Sitting down to a slap-up roast by mum.
Well, yeah.
By mum!
Takes the edge off when I'm the mum in question.
It's the 90s.
Although, do you know what I do like? I like the 3 hours I spend in the kitchen on my own while I'm making that roast with a bottle of wine.
A box set and a sing-along. Kath, I would like to give you a cuddle and see if you feel chip.
No.
Can I do
I'm
the,
fine.
Just a short...
No, it's cool. Everything's...
Can we do
no,
like
fine.
Just a tiny...
I'm okay.
Was that...
I'm okay. Okay, it wasn't okay.
No.
When did you, you don't even know what chipper means. You're supposed to feel it 8 times a week.
Feel what?
Chipper!
Oh. No, I'll be all right. I think just I can feel... Chipper is maybe excessive.
Mm.
Chipper's slightly annoying.
Right.
I prefer...
Mild, as long as I feel non severe irritation.
As what? Long as I feel non-violent, I'm winning.
Crikey. You just racked it up a notch, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
There's a great comedian called Brian Damage. Have you ever seen him?
No.
Brian Damage.
Is that his real name? No.
Yeah. No. Fact. Yeah, 100%. Lord Sugar. No, it's Brian Damage and Cristal. And Cristal... So he comes on and he's sort of this. He looks like he's just been beaten up, to be honest. I mean, that's harsh, but fair.
Oh.
And he comes on with a guitar, and Cristal comes on, his sort of glamorous assistant. And she literally just stands at the side of the stage, literally with a magazine, like Take a Break, just reading it.
Oh, she sounds
the
like.
The whole thing. She pays no attention. That's the whole of her involvement in the show.
I like her.
Yeah, Brian Damage and Cristal reading Take a Break. Anyway, he's got that brilliant sort of very laconic dry style. And this is one of those things I sort of recite this joke of his over and over again. And the trouble is that I sound too chipper, totally dead inside. But I sound really chipper.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work because only he, because he looks unchipped. Like yeah. He is not chipper.
No.
He is not chipper, Lord Sugar. And so he does this sort of very dry sort of thing. So he comes on and he just goes, I used to worry about getting depressed. Not anymore. I look forward to it.
Oh,
that's the
wow.
That's you with the chipper because you need a cuddle. Have a cuddle.
Cuddle him, I'm fine.
One tiny
seriously,
cuddle.
Seriously, no, I'm groovy.
Jem, still listening, bless him. I'm assuming Grace is up. Hi, Jem, his little three-year-old. He says, singing in the car, Rachel and Thomas do an awesome duet to one of the songs from Frozen.
I bet I know which one.
Which one?
Love is an open.
Yes! Oh! Nailed it!
Everyone does it. Except in our house, it provokes fights because no one wants to be the boy.
Right.
Except I don't mind, but the girls will fight over it.
Really?
Yeah, I said it doesn't make you an actual boy. And anyway, what's wrong with being a boy?
Do you know, I liked Frozen. What's interesting is
I liked it the first 25 times. Yeah.
Interestingly to me, obviously I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it was, you know, that I'm a radio presenter. It's kind of my job to try and drum up things. You know what I mean? And not go on in some sort of meta way, overly examining things and, you know, kind of in an introverted way, I suppose, delving. Shut up. Before I had my little boy,
yes,
I watched Frozen and thought, this film sucks.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, this is rubbish. Then I had my little boy. Watched it with my little boy, wept brokenly and unabashedly all the way through it, loved every second of it, thought it was the best thing I'd ever seen.
That film was the first one I took my eldest daughter to after I'd had her sister, and it was kind of a let's go out and we'll do something together for the first time in ages, because, you know, the eldest one gets a little bit ignored. And so we went out and we had a big girls date, and we went to the cinema in Milton Keynes, which is in a great big silver boob. Have you ever seen the Snow Dome? It looks like a big boob. Anyway, it's massive. And as we came out, I don't know what it does to the wind, but the wind is always whistling around there. And as we came out, the one standout moment, of course, after we both enjoyed the film, was we came out and the wind was so strong, it blew her earmuffs off.
Blew your earmuffs off?
Blew my eldest's earmuffs off. I had to go scrub them about in a bush for them. That's the thing she remembers. Not the film, it's the earmuff loss.
Well, you would remember that, wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, you would remember that.
I mean, it whipped it right off her head.
I've got to tell you, thank you, Lord Guardian Hawk. But
hashtag cuddles for Kath is now trending.
Right, okay, well, try it. I dare you.
When I say trending, it's just trending on Lord Guardian Hawk's Twitter feed.
I dare you. I pity the fool that attempts to...
I'm going
to
do this.
Don't you dare. Just stay on that side of the desk.
Why should we not? Guess you guys picked the wrong story. Nick Knowles, that's Nick see, that's Knowles. A bad idea. That's like
Nick Knowles
boring.
Is a big deal for in some women's minds, isn't he? I don't get it myself.
No,
but he's he's
you will get it.
He's one of these housewives' favourite types, isn't he? But I'm old enough to remember when Alan Titchmarsh was a housewife's favourite. Is he still?
No, well, not housewives.
No. My mum can't pronounce his name. She calls him Titsmars.
My favourite Alan Titchmarsh moment, and when I suddenly realised what a consummate professional he was when he was doing Ground Force, the gardening show. And he was doing up the garden of, I think, a headmistress.
Oh.
Very posh headmistress, but somewhere up north, posh.
They do have them.
Yeah. I know. I'm not, And he had to walk up her gravel drive, and she was standing there at the door, and he had to say her name. And I suddenly realised what a professional he was as he crunched his way up the drive and thrust a hand out and said... Teeny Cox.
No, it was not called that.
Teeny Cox? Why would you choose... She was not christened Teeny.
I guess she was a Christina.
It's like Christina. Teeny Cox. Lovely to meet you. Honestly.
Oh, good old Titsmars.
Good old Titsmars and Teeny Cox. Green thumbs. So...
Wow. Teeny Cox.
Teeny Cox.
See, posh people do love a nickname, don't they?
They
I used to live with two girls who went to Cheltenham. Lady. And they were gorgeous. They were so... Honestly, they were so nice. They were so nice. But, they had friends called, Pig.
Yeah. You're
right.
And they're,
really attractive girls.
Yeah.
Pig and, Bunter and things like that.
Yeah.
I love a nickname.
I'm always fascinated by nicknames, actually. If you've got a nickname, please share it with me. It's the weirder, the better. 87222, start text message with Word Talk, or better, phone me up. 0344-499-1000.
I think it's mostly a bloke thing. Unless you're a posh woman.
Because I sort of had this... One of my favourite things is to... And I'm having to slightly modify this, okay? Because, obviously, it's a family show.
Well, not at this hour, it's not.
Well, with Jem's family, it is. His little three-year-old will be up any second. Made up nicknames that aren't real nicknames, but because the thing with nicknames is that they generally have emerged from some moment. So,
or a story.
This woman called Pig, there must be some anecdote in her past where Pig, there was that moment, the birth of Pig.
Pig, yeah.
And you always wonder what the hell is that story? So it's fun to make up nicknames that will then make other people overhearing you calling someone that nickname go, what the hell is that story? So I always thought it'd be funny if you had a couple and the guy sort of, walking through the aisle down in a supermarket somewhere just goes, should we get some lasagna, po-bum?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, what the hell was that story?
Well, you can have a guess at that one.
Well, yes, you can.
On
0344. No, let's not, because that's just a red rag to a bull.
Well, do you know what that is? That's throwing up the back signal to...
Yeah, exactly. I'm not... this is not an open forum for discussion. Keith says, Catherine.
Yes.
I always thought of you as a cuddly, chipper Kay Burley.
Oh. You can go off someone, Who said that, Keith?
Kay Burley's a bit of a fan of mine, Yeah, that was Keith. Thanks, Keith. And also, Lady Starhawk says, do you know it's been announced there's going to be a Frozen 2?
That's true. Yeah. That's not a Frozen 2 pushed through your letterbox. No. It's, that's called, yeah.
I do Never know mind. That. Yeah. I do know that. As a mother of two girls, yeah, yeah. It's my business to know this stuff.
My business. My
and Frozen you know what's going to happen. It's going to be different dolls, different dresses.
Yeah.
Different
yeah.
songs.
Yeah, because we need the merch refreshed. We'll be back after this.
Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about 45 minutes away from Erotica, read live by Catherine Boyle, sight unseen. It's a wonderful treat for a producer of a national radio show. Let's catch up, though, with the latest news headlines, shall we? Okay.
Jake Young, in for Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes. Yap, yeah, on the 0002 Talk Radio. Keep it real. All my days. Nuggets. Chips. Mayo. I used to like Tara Masala. I can't eat it now. It's a shame. Did you know that if you go to Pizza Express with an unopened packet of vegan cheese and say, open it, please, they will?
Is that a fact?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you can take an unopened packet of vegan cheese to Pizza Express and they will put it on your pizza for you.
Well, that's very good of them.
It is very good.
Do they take
them
a bit of money off your pizza?
They charge a cheesage fee of 50p. No. No, it's brilliant.
They should... You should get a pizza a bit cheaper, though, if you're bringing off the ingredients.
I think you should, too.
Yeah,
but you know,
maybe you're just grateful that they open your packet for you.
And... Yeah, there's definitely a pun on grateful there. Mm. You know, and, you know, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's really difficult.
This is a man who I noticed was transporting some ketchup round.
Here
it was ketchup,
go.
Wasn't it, in
here
your passenger seat yesterday?
Yes, I had ketchup on my passenger seat.
It didn't have its seatbelt on, by the way. I think that's illegal.
No, because it was low sugar ketchup. I don't know. Doesn't remember. What I loved, it speaks volumes about your consummate professionalism and also about the caliber of people that you have to work with, that you didn't flinch or bat an eyelid when almost the first time we worked together and we went and got some food that I produced from my pocket
mayonnaise.
Some of my own mayonnaise.
Not your own mayonnaise, has to be said.
No, vegan mayonnaise. Made, yeah, okay. And when you were like, okay, that's normal.
Well,
that's cool.
You know, I've learned not to express surprise, any sudden movements.
No eye contact. That
no,
was the thing.
Like
that
working,
was it for the rest of the night.
They're working with gorillas.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like the first time we worked together, I came into work. There was no sign of Kath. There was just a bunch of bananas on the desk.
Yeah.
And I ate all the bananas.
I was sitting across the room with my back to him.
That's right. I came the next day and that's what you were doing. Yes. And then the next day you were a little bit closer.
Yeah.
And then you slowly turned round. And then I noticed that the bananas had a curious scent on them the next day. And that was your scent.
Yes.
You're very good at it. I mean, yeah. you should
years
have
of practice.
Yeah, you should definitely have like Sigourney Weaver or something play you.
Well, I know, but she came to a sticky end in that film, so she did it wrong.
Really? What happened?
Yeah, Gorillas in the Mist.
Is it very sticky?
Oh yeah, she got. Didn't spoiler alert? Didn't
really?
End well.
Oh really?
Well,
I didn't know.
It was after a real person, wasn't it? So you kind of know what's going to happen with those scenarios. Or it's a biopic.
Oh, now, yeah, because, seriously, let's just talk about Madonna. There's someone's proposing to do a biopic of her early years, right?
Oh, flippin' heck.
But I heard someone pronounce it as biopic.
Is it? What is it, though?
It's not a biopic.
Biopic, isn't it?
It's got to be a biopic.
Like a biography.
A biography, but, I mean, it's biopic. That would make sense for biopic. I was grappling with this with myself earlier, because I think it's got to be biopic.
I need to hear someone that I respect saying it. No, no offence, but I need to hear, like, Kermode or...
I'll get the bananas.
I need to hear someone who says it a lot say it.
Is it biopic or biopic? 87222, start a text message with the word talk or phone us up 03444991000.
The thing is, biopic sounds like myopic, and that's not a good thing, yeah. Is it, when you're watching films?
No.
So I bet it's biopic. But then biopic sounds like...
Biopic actually sounds like a French organic supermarket.
Or it's like it's
we
made...
We should have an apostrophe at the end.
Or it's made out of actual biological material.
That biopic. Oh. He was on the train biopicking all the way down to
Dirty
London.
Devil.
Absolutely disgusting. I got on the train and there's lots of football fans.
What did they do? What were they doing singing?
I was drinking the beers. This could be a good one. The Gunners, the Gunners, hey!
Was they doing some loud swears?
I say, guys, I'm trying to edit down some, ow, sorry. Anyway, Nick Knowles, right?
Oh, yeah. He would be comfortable in that scenario, even though he wouldn't join in. He'd be cool, wouldn't he?
Yeah. You're all right, lads. Like you just got to keep the noise down a bit, yeah?
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad.
Oh, no, what's happened now?
His marriage has fallen apart.
Oh, no.
I know. And I really thought they were going to make it. But it's none of my business. Anyway, it's just, I just sort of rather taken by this line in the article where he said, one friend said I should go on Tinder.
Oh.
Can you imagine what would happen in the press if I was suddenly to appear on Tinder? It would be mental. Which, given that the whole of this article is about his mental health. That's the phrase used in the opening paragraph. It's like, do you really want to use that? Nick Knowles
need to go on Tinder because by doing that, he's effectively widened
his
profile.
Open season, guys. Yeah. Just bumped his profile. The thing is, Nick Knowles, right? I don't know if this applies in a little bit, but certainly a couple of years ago, for a given number of Thursdays in any year, Nick Knowles was on BBC One three times a day.
Yeah, Knowles-a-thon.
All the Knowles. Mm. All the Knowles.
Knowles right up.
BBC Knowles. The Knowles at 10. The Knowles at 9. The 6 o'clock Knowles. Like, it's all the Knowles.
BBC local Knowles.
You could... Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of local Knowlesage. And it's like, the guy, I like the guy, don't get me wrong,
he seems like a very affable
chap.
Can we
not find anyone else to front a show?
But that's what
That's
what TV seems to do at the moment. They've got a few who can do it, and they just pass it around amongst them, don't they?
They do.
It's like, someone else's turn?
Yeah. Can I have a go? Is there not a register somewhere where can I can... Sure, if you're casting about for, you know, middle-aged white guys, surely we can... why don't we talk to Jerry? Hello, Jerry.
Any Knowles a goal?
Hey! That's a new format for him. I don't know what that would...
Any Knowles a goal? It's got to be like a soccer
football.
AM rival, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Done on the cheap.
Yeah.
Brilliant. How are you, Jerry?
I'm all right. Just coming on the fourth chummy door at the moment. I've been on my knees for a while.
You're on your knees?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's easier to walk.
Oh, I see. I thought perhaps...
Yeah, waddle across the floor.
I thought perhaps Ken had inspired you to,
get on your knees and pray.
Get on your knees and pray for forgiveness and salvation.
No, the only Ken I like is Ken Tucky.
He's a lot of fun, Ken.
And he's chicken wings.
Yeah. How's your day been?
Pretty boring. That's Catherine received me book and sent some pages. Email.
I've seen, but I'm a bit busy, Jerry, for reading
that's
books,
okay.
But I will have a look.
Nice to see them, that's all.
I got it.
That's good.
Thank you.
I'm still writing them. It takes about three pages every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you're writing something. That's
good. It's just me about Fraser.
Listen, I only read a page every 3 weeks. Like, do you try and read before you go to sleep, Kath?
No, I can't read before I go to sleep. I've got books I really want to read as well, but I'm just... when the moment comes where I can actually sit down and do something like that, I end up falling asleep like an old granny.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a page every 3 weeks.
If that.
Yeah.
I think I started some books and it's been so long since I started them, I can't remember which ones they were.
And then there's that whole, I've read that, but I can't remember it really.
Mm. What I need is a holiday where I can really go at it hammer and tongs, book-wise.
What you need is a cuddle.
No, I don't. Drop
hammer
it.
Hammer and tongs at it, chipper-wise.
Drop it.
Jerry, do you see Catherine as a chipper, cuddly K-Burley? As Keith does?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Oh, Jerry. I don't know what happened there.
But, actually, probably for the best that he didn't
might
answer
be for
that
the
question.
Best. Might be for the best. Jay, are you there?
Hello, mate.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm a little tipsy for midweek, but feeling fine.
On yeah. a school night as
feeling
well.
Feeling fine in 99. Have you got your tie on your head?
Feeling fine in 99. I haven't heard that for, since 99.
Since 18 years, I would think. Yeah.
About then.
Feeling fine in 99.
Kath, is she there?
Yes, she's
I'm
there.
Here.
Kermode says biopic.
Does he? Right. Okay,
right,
I'll go with that.
He does?
Yeah. Oh, that's good enough for me. And listen, I've slept on his futon.
Have you?
I have, actually.
Did he know?
No. I had to get up very, very early and get back out through the window.
Out before his kids come downstairs.
Yeah. No, it was before he had kids. He very sweetly, he
put you up on his... Put you up.
He put me up.
Oh, it's kind
yeah.
of...
Yeah, he's a nice guy. So there
that's
you go.
Interesting. I mean... I'm enjoying you, Jake, but I feel slightly like a betrayer for doing so.
You are a betrayer for doing so. You should be ashamed. What you've done is wrong.
I will go to sleep racked with guilt for enjoying your content broadcasting.
I think there needs to be some sort of, you know, quite sort of punitive...
Congratulations.
Like, something like a ceviche thing, you know? Is that a ceviche? What's it called, the thing you put...
Felice. Yeah, you beat myself with a rope.
Oh, yeah.
It's the sort of barbed wire you put around your thigh.
Yeah, like Paul Bettany.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Paul Bettany, that was in one of the...
The Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, with the monk.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, was he an albino monk?
I hope I don't make things awkward in the studio there, but I do sense a certain frisson between you and Kat.
Full frisson. Full frisson. 100% frisson.
It's a very charged atmosphere, I think.
Can I just
Ed's uncomfortable. I asked Ed on the phone. He's very uncomfortable.
I'm not.
He's coming to the tribunal.
I'm not. The thing is, I think you're absolutely
going to get a fortune.
Do you remember that pop video for Mojo's "Lady Hear Me Tonight"? Do you remember the pop video?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's just like that.
Oh dear.
We're gonna pool our money, we're gonna buy a car, we're gonna go for a drive and all sleep in a motel.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Well, all I've got in my head is just a predatory calf and you kind of quivering in a corner.
It's awful.
Oh yeah, it's all me.
Come and get me. Please come and get me. I'm not swerving your frisson because you're absolutely right. And there's a tweet from Jen that I need to apprise Kath of in a second. I
look forward to the solicited letters.
Yeah. Listen. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. We're talking about the Da Vinci Code, right? I've got this idea, right? Because there was the monk, right, in the Da Vinci Code,
right?
It was the albino monk.
Opus Dei.
Which is real, by the way.
Which is real, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. All of it's
FYI.
Real. It's all fact. Anyway, could you recreate the Da Vinci Code in carrots and then have the monk played by a parsnip?
I think you've just melted my tiny mind.
No, Jay, you and me both.
Is that not okay?
What was that? What was
Because the monk, he was an albino, wasn't he?
Wow.
Yes.
So you could... No?
Well...
No.
Are you calling a parsnip an albino carrot?
I think that's what he's saying.
Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what he's saying,
yeah,
Jay.
Yeah.
A parsnip's not just an albino carrot.
It is.
It's entirely different.
100%.
I mean...
Vegetable.
Wow.
Both of us, Jay, you and I both backing slowly towards the door.
This is a cul-de-sac that I hadn't anticipated on being trapped in.
Jem says... My brother-in-law,
Catherine,
is a big hugger. He's a big hugger.
Don't hug him, Kath.
Comes out with some statistic that you need to hug for 2 minutes to release endorphins. Ooh. Now, we've got 2 minutes to the break.
No, you can jog on.
2 minutes to the break.
That's a two-minute head start.
Two-minute hug?
Oh, no, that's lingering. Imagine? That's can lingering.
That's awkward radio as well.
That is as well. I mean, your pelvis would have to be well back, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd be a top-only hugger. I can see
You've
that.
You've got to be.
It'd be like just...
Top-only? What's the alternative, Jake?
Because you've got... If you've
well,
got
some people, they hug, like, with their bodies pure vertical,
Oh,
right?
No, rude.
Yeah.
That's too intimate.
I don't understand. The alternative to a top-only hug is obscene, Jake.
No, I'm not saying a bottom-only.
It's basically a hug.
No. Come on, you know what I'm saying. There I can show you. Shall I show you?
No, I don't want you to show me.
Can I show you on Ed? Ed, come on. We've got time.
I think we all know what...
Come on, come on.
We all know what you're saying, Jake, and I don't think any of us like it.
No.
I'll show you. Right, look.
This is all wrong.
Don't do bottom only hugs. This is wrong.
The bottom only hug. Yeah.
Hi. This is a top only hug, right?
Right. Hey. They're doing the A-frame. Hi, they're doing
the A-frame, right?
Yeah.
This is how other people hug.
Oh no!
This going
no!
What's wrong with that?
Ed,
I felt a little bit. It was wrong. No, you didn't. That's just where I keep my
keys. That's where he keeps his ketchup.
What the hell is going on in there?
I'll tell you what's going on.
We'll do the break, and then Ed and I are going to hug for 2 minutes.
Oh, gosh. I'm just going to leave you two to
and
it.
We're going to sit. Well, all right. If you're not going to join in.
No, I'm not.
I'll leave you to it as well. Good night. Good night.
Oh, Jay, it's lovely to talk to you.
You've managed to embarrass a caller off line.
Love you, Jay. Thanks very much. 03444991000 is the number to call. I'm going to hug the heck out of Ed after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Okay. It's 22 minutes after midnight, and that's important. It's Jake Gabby in for Ian Lee. He's hopefully going to be back tomorrow. And
I don't think that's looking likely, if I'm honest.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but we live in hope.
Yeah, we do live in hope, because I'm going to be in Folkestone.
Well.
So.
We're going to have a lot of thinking time tomorrow night.
We can all think about everything we've ever done, and I think that will actually be a very good good thing.
Yeah.
You were looking at my thing earlier.
I was looking at your machine.
It's cool, isn't it?
Right, this is the thing. It looks like an old pocket calculator, but it does this. And it's got beats on it as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, if you press, there's like a play button, like second up on the right.
Oh, hang on, I've recorded something. Hang on. Second up on the right.
It's like a button. That... It's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wicked.
Good.
What do you use that for?
Just annoying people on the radio. Finally, it's found its purpose.
Job done.
Yeah, good. Let's talk to Paul. How are you, Paul?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, actually. I'm doing okay. I'm feeling good.
Okay. As I said last night, my head brace is at a million miles an hour. The original reason I called in for, I've forgotten again, but while I've been hanging on, I've thought of things just off the top of my head that you've been talking about.
Crazy. Impromptu. Freestyle.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, that's the way I do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You were talking about Nick Knowles.
Yes, I was.
Yeah? Okay. Have you seen him recently since he's grown his beard?
No.
He's grown a beard.
Let's not forget, that's only one of his many achievements.
Mm. Okay, I'll tell you his second achievement in a second that I've thought of. His first achievement, since he's grown his beard, if you look at him, he looks like a serial killer now.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, that classic serial killer look.
Nick Knowles now, with his beard that he's grown, looks like a serial killer.
Okay. I have to say, I don't really find him that remarkable. I mean...
Okay, right. I'll tell you secondly. You know Nick Knowles? Maybe you say he's on the TV a lot.
Oh, Nick Knowles. Right, yeah.
What does he mostly present? Quiz programmes, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, he's got the perfect name, hasn't he, for a quiz programme presenter?
Nick
Knowles.
Knowles. That
I'm standing up for that one. I'm standing up for that one. That's beautiful.
Incredible. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Secondly, you just insulted...
Thirdly, technically.
You just insulted Catherine earlier.
I insult her all the time.
By saying, was she a better version of Kay Burley?
I didn't say that.
Well, someone said it, didn't they?
Yeah, Keith.
Yeah, it was Keith.
Okay, sorry. Catherine, I don't know what you look like, but from what you sound like and what I know of you, you are far better than flipping Kay Burley.
Well, all of us.
Kay Burley is just
in the talk radio family.
Nobody.
Oh,
she's a reject from bloody TVAM or GMTV, isn't she?
There's no need to be personal about Kay Burley. Crikey. I mean, we do look very similar, apart from I'm covered in scales.
Yeah, you're right. Her neck is flipping like a lizard, isn't it?
No, I'm not going to go at Kay Burley. Leave her alone.
No, Kath breathes out of holes in the sides of her head.
I do, and do you know what? I'm proud of that. It's took me a long time to learn it.
Yeah, cultivating Sinai like that.
Is that the plural of sinuses? I don't know. I think Catherine would make a better daytime TV presenter than Holly Willoughby.
Well, you're right. You're right there. I mean, you're right. True what you say.
I agree. I think this morning with Ian and Kath would be.
Oh my goodness! We would manage one.
That would be incredible.
It would be one hell of a morning.
This one morning with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. That would be fantastic.
It would be funny.
Can I finally say what I originally phoned up for? I've remembered.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I write down things randomly. The first thing that pops into my head.
Yeah.
And then I try and think and try and come up with something.
And the weird thing
down. I wrote down earlier.
Cucumber. What's that all about?
I wrote down things that do not do what they say on the tin.
Oh.
Okay. Things that do.
And I thought of this straight away.
Yeah.
Kate Humble. You know who Kate Humble is? The good-looking... Yep. Woman that does the nature programs.
I'm aware of her work. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Things that do not do what they say on the tin. I bet most people tune in, men tune in to watch her program called Kate Humble, her Badger Watch.
It's been lovely to talk to you.
Don't know what you mean.
You get it, don't you? Kate Humble's Badger Watch.
Yeah. It's been lovely to talk to you.
A badger.
I mean that's you're stretching it a little bit there. Stretching it there.
It's a bit rude. Can you explain it to Catherine?
Yes. When a man and a woman love each other very much, they say, night, night, Paul. Thank you for your call, Paul. Appreciate it.
Leave the badgers alone. They're an endangered species.
Well, I am firmly in favour of a cull. It's time we did away with all these badgers cluttering up the place. My friend Lionel has said he'll sort it out, and he's quite right too.
A friend of mine once inherited a badger, a stuffed one, and then she mentioned it on air and got into quite hot water about it.
I bet.
Because you're not supposed to be stuffing badgers.
No, you should never stuff a...
But it was very old, but you're still not supposed to have
never
them. So if you have a stuffed badger...
Do you understand that you're compounding this?
If you have
let's
a stuffed
talk
badger,
to, let's...
Declare it now.
We've got Jerry back.
Hello.
How are you?
Education is wearing off, so I'll be brief.
Okay,
you've got to be brief.
I ran a badger over once.
You ran a badger over?
Yeah, I made a mess of my car.
They're massive, aren't they?
Yeah, just come out and...
It's a long story, and I think it would probably take from now to one, and we've got to squeeze so much in. I once nearly ran over a badger on my bike... at 11 o'clock at night, hurtling down a mountain in Wales.
Wow, you would know about that.
Yeah, you would. I mean, that would be game over, I think.
Yeah. Because
you crash the bike and then it would come for you. It would be over.
It would have you, it would destroy you.
Yeah. So, but I didn't... I was trying to find shelter for the night. I'd been camping in this valley. It was freezing cold. It was too cold. And I'd been, just on my bike in this valley... Right, and I got on my bike and thought, this is too cold, I'm going to freeze to death. So I tried to cycle out. My legs were jelly because I've been cycling all day. Heave my way up out over the top of this mountain, and I start freewheeling down. I don't want to break because my legs are jelly.
No.
You know, so I'm going at, and I got a speedometer on my little bike, and it was like nearly 40 miles an hour I'm doing. Pitch blackness. I go round a corner, there's this archway, and it says, Devil's Bridge. That's where I'd arrived. I go around the corner and there's this massive badger in the middle of the road.
Oh.
Yeah. The rest of the story is pretty banal. But
you're listening to Badger Talk here on Talk Radio.
Badger chat. All badger all the time. Talk badger. Badger, yeah. So, that must have been quite distressing for you, Jerry, running over a badger, I would have thought.
Made a mess of the car.
Yeah.
Made a mess of the car.
That's what happened.
You sentimental fool, Jerry.
Most funny thing about most ironic thing I've ever seen, as a cow escaped from a field, got hit by a milk tanker on its side.
It got hit by an oil tanker?
And the milk.
Oh,
that's terrible.
The cow was dead.
It died of irony.
Life comes at you fast. That's terrible, isn't it?
That is pretty terrible. There's no use crying over it, though, is there?
Catherine?
Yes.
You're the Mrs. H of Talk Radio. You're gorgeous.
There you go.
Thanks, Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. I think we should leave it there before it gets far too hot for radio. Yeah. Well, you're knocking it out of the park today, Catherine. No one's noticed. No one said, "Oh, Jake's like a cuddly version of." Dermot Murnaghan. No one said that, have they?
When has cuddly version of anything been a better version?
Don't, because I'll think of something and it'll be so inappropriate. Fine. We've got some erotica coming up in about 15 minutes' time.
Yeah, it's as if you hadn't had enough.
I know, it's all been
all
a bit...
badger talk.
What's going on? It's some weird planetary group thing, isn't it? It's like you notice that when you have a kid and, like, all the kids on one particular morning are like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in their own homes...
Dotted separately. Around.
Yeah, it's just some weird consensus. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And everyone's late that one morning. It's like it's happening in here tonight. It's like everyone's like, yeah.
Too hot for radio.
It's happening. It's happening. This is happening. After this, it's happening.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Say to you, babe, enjoy your night. Because it's happening. Enjoy your night, babe. Woo! Babe, it's not happening now, but you come and find me before you go, because it's happening, babe. Woo! This is happening, babe. 100%, 100%. Get my man Bacardi Breezer. Babe, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Just go and be with your mates. Come and find me later. It's happening. Babe.
I used to love a Bacardi Breezer.
Oh, yeah.
And a Moscow Mule.
Oh, the Moscow Mule was king. The Moscow Mule.
I'd have an Archer's and lemonade if I was feeling flush.
Yeah, those
remember them?
Were good.
Oh, nice.
And then you could buy them pre-mixed.
And then it was happening.
Babe, it was happening. All I'll say is, in the early to mid-90s, it was happening, babe.
It was going right off.
100%. can't really, yeah.
I remember once drinking so much vodka and Red Bull as a student that I woke myself up in the night because my legs were dancing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I never really understood the appeal of that kind of cough syrupy flavour.
No, but I get very thirsty when I've had a couple. I just carry on till I fall asleep.
And then it happens.
It's like nature's off switch. And sleep. Before you do any more damage.
I like that moment when there's a moment and you've been slumped in the corner of someone's party, just sweating and grey, like you've been chewing cordite for the last hour, you know, and some tiny distant part of your brain goes, I can get you home, but you have to leave.
Now.
The window is closing. And suddenly you've been motionless for like three quarters of an hour to an hour, just sitting there sweating, and suddenly you just go, okay, I have to go, bye. And you just walk, you walk all the way home. It doesn't matter if it's in the next county, whatever. It doesn't, and you walk the whole way home at a 45 degree angle, yes. Like it's into a headwind. Yes. It's just a controlled fall all the way into your bed for like 8 miles.
But I would have, like you say, like a break of efficiency. And so the next morning I would be amazed that I'd come back with my keys.
Yeah.
I didn't have a phone in those days. No. Keys.
Pager.
I didn't have a pager. I had my cards. The fiver I went out with normally as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because it was happening, yeah, babe. By my mate Bacardi Breezer.
It was going off.
It's happening.
I'd have all that stuff and I'd have all my clothes, but kind of in a vertical pile where I'm just taking it all off in a wanna.
Wow. I went when I
by the side of the bed. So I could have been tipped into it like in Wallace and Gromit the next morning.
Actually petrified. That's fantastic. We're 10 minutes away from erotica, but let's talk to John. Hello.
Very good evening.
How are you?
John.
I'm very well, Catherine. Hello, Catherine. Hello, Jake. What can I first say? What a wonderful job you're doing.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
You've stepped into shoes, somebody else's shoes, and you've knocked it out of the park.
Well, that's very sweet of you. I mean, my role is actually to what you don't know is what I've got planned for the last 10 minutes when I'm gonna throw my hand completely.
It's happening.
Well, I did. I mean, last night. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. I had to go and get a cold shower.
I bet.
Very sensuous.
You can never wash that kind of dirtiness out of you, can you? It's awful.
No, that's it. That grime doesn't come out in a hurry. baby shams, come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Now you're
going. My granddad used to give me baby sham when I was probably about 8.
Do you remember the advert?
Yeah, I love a baby sham.
I'd love a baby sham.
Yeah.
I'll have a baby sham.
Yeah, that was good.
It was. I mean, but it was an early Alco pop, wasn't it? Because it did taste like, fizzy pop.
I guess so. I don't.
But that hadn't bloomed on, isn't it?
It was a good, hang on, look, I've got it here. Here we go. Baby sham. There you go.
Yeah. I love a baby sham.
I never got into baby sham. That was kind of before my
early
era.
80s, wasn't it? Late 70s.
That was 1986, the moment when the guy said...
Yeah, my mum always used to have a...
There it is. Hang on.
It was kind of the Lamborghini of its day.
The Lamborghini of its day, imagine
Woo,
that.
Woo, for fun girls.
There's a claim to fame.
Well, before we all knew it was... I don't know what the game was, whether the game was to get some cheap muck that tastes like pop out onto the marketplace for the younger generation, but it ended up the older folk drinking it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there were all kinds of...
Well, they didn't have nice wine then, did they, in the 70s?
No.
Didn't they?
Not really. No. It was all blue. None.
What was the stuff with raffia on it?
Oh, Chianti, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
But, no, the wine selection wasn't great in those days, was it?
No.
Bit rubbish.
None of it was great. And also, when I went to university, which sounds very glad, I did 12 weeks and then fled in terror. I hated the whole thing. But while I was in Manchester, there was an Aldi, and that was like a novel thing. No one had heard of Aldi, and it only had like about 4 things in it.
Libra milk.
And I memorized, I tried to drink it. They sold this product called Bonora.
Oh.
And it was kind of like Bonora.
Bonora.
And it was kind of like a sort of Lambrini thing, but it was fruitier.
Ooh.
And I memorized, because you realize for European regulations, the wording had to be so specific as to what it was.
Yes.
They couldn't call it, you know, champagne, obviously, but they couldn't even, what they had to call it for legal reasons, they called it a peach and orange flavored, aromatized wine product cocktail.
Oh, gosh. Very specific.
Well, I like that.
It was like drinking molten lead. It was unbelievable.
Bonora.
Well,
no, I probably wouldn't like the drink.
I'd love a Bonora.
But I'm liking the description.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, honestly, it was...
I mean, we should go back to them days.
Just saying the description makes you sound drunk, doesn't it?
Yeah. I can feel the headache, actually.
Yeah, God.
It was ghastly.
Just something else I wanted to bring you to your attention, and obviously it is concerning and a worry, because you just don't know where it's going to lead to next.
Oh, God.
Is, you know the Kit Kats?
Yes?
You know the ones you multi-packs, 2 fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, go on.
No. No punchline. So I buy a pack for the kids and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And I have a nibble of a night, you do.
Of course.
And so I thought, I'll go for the dark ones and I'll go for the milk ones.
Yeah.
Because I quite like dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Anyway, other night when I've been sat here opening my Kit Kat, I've noticed something really strange going on with the silver paper. Because you know how we all enjoy putting our nail in that groove.
Oh, yeah, that's the best bit, isn't it? Nailing the groove.
Stop it.
Because that's one of the things.
Yes. But I remember that from my Kit Kat eating days. That was part of the ritual, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So they went mad. So when they did the bigger piece, with all the new technology now, and they don't have to put silver paper in these sweets. So they went for a normal packet, and everybody went mad about it. Now, I have noticed now on these ones, certainly the ones I've got, I don't know whether it's a defect, and I did have to open a few packets to test.
Yeah, just for scientific purposes.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I've noticed it's, you know, like, so say if you take a piece of paper and you plunk something in the middle and you're going to fold, piece of A4, for instance, and you're going to fold it over. Now, where would you put those ending folds? Because you're not going to glue it.
I put them wherever it takes to make this story go faster.
Right.
Don't be harsh. Don't be harsh. Come on, John.
Come on, I'm living it in real time.
Yeah, no, go on. Yeah, so go on.
Go on, tell us where it is.
Yeah.
Where's the fold?
You just slowed it down in another minute there at least.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
You say that, we've got the fader.
Yeah.
Go on.
So anyway, the crease, what I'm saying is that the fold, those edges are in the wrong place now. They're on the top. So I'm going to run my finger through, and it sort of folds over and shows me the edge without me digging in.
Oh, ruined.
How do you cope?
Well, I don't know. It's just something that I notice. I don't notice these things. The little things.
I don't know why they
do
this.
Where will it lead?
I know, right? Toblerone gate.
Exactly. This is what it could be.
John, it's been lovely to talk to you. We do actually have to go to a break, so I'm going to say goodnight, but thank you for ringing.
That's fine. It's been a pleasure.
All the best. Take care. Just before the break, Keith has texted, because I was complaining. You were called Cuddly K. Burley from Sky News.
Yeah.
Keith, I love this. He says, to me, you're the Butch Stephen Dixon. I will take that. Stephen Dixon, sitting there, hands under the desk, very
He's
assured,
a very naughty man.
Nothing moving whatsoever. Ice blue eyes, little smile, taking my time. You will have the news at my tempo. And we will leave it. A bit disgusting, actually. Didn't like that. Don't like that. No, we don't like that. What's going on with him?
He's a friend of a friend. Apparently he's got a filthy sense of humour.
Yeah. Well, he's busted, man. I don't think he's playing as subtle a game as he thinks on there. Oh, why are we talking about that? It's like, yeah, you...
He knows.
I know exactly...
It's going on.
I know exactly what happens with him. He goes to specialist clubs, I reckon.
Stop
where
it!
People...
Are we on? Rock the door. Rock them. All right, this MC Big Business. Text me now. Text me now. 07923414. Big shout going out to the East Kilbride. Man them. Keep it real. Text me now. Randy J kicking it in Muffetville. Text me now, text me now. Penzance, Nasty Boys, Big Sal. Wait, no, keep them out.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Babe, just enjoy a night. Happening. Yeah. Just enjoy it. It's
You're such a pervert.
What do you mean that's not perverted? Come off it. It's a bad characterization, right. And potentially, you know, I don't know.
Bearing in mind that I'm about to read something that you wrote out of your mind.
Oh yeah, no, this is bad. I'd forgotten that. I know you're right, I'm a pervert. I'm a terrible pervert. If you haven't heard this before, this is something I've been doing, covering for Ian Lee. It's a nice way to close out the show. We might have Paul if there's time, but I suspect possibly not. But hang in there, Paul, you never know your luck. This is tonight's erotic prose. For you. It's a short story.
Why is
just
it folded
being
up?
Handed over. Ed did that.
Dearest Kath, XO.
Yeah. and this is called In the Slammer. It's a prison. So we're trying to think of some good appropriate prison. It's like Orange is the New Black, I think. It's about a sort of wealthy socialite, I think. Anyway, so do you want to start with some music, Ed? I don't know what we've managed to find. You got it there? You got the music? You can play the music.
He used to give me roses.
What is that?
In the Slammer.
What is that music?
It's Prisoner Cell Block H.
Oh, brilliant.
It's actually a really touching song.
Yeah.
Appropriately. In the Slammer by Maud Hyman. But orange is so not my colour, she protested. Can we just dim it a bit? Because I think it's limiting my performance.
It's too intense. Yeah. You don't want to fight it. Don't fight it.
But orange is so not my colour, she protested as she was handed her jumpsuit. At 22, Barcelona Motel was worth more than the entire prison in which she was about to spend 2 weeks. 2 weeks? That seemed like a harsh sentence. All she'd done was knock down and kill a few orphans in her spanky new pink car. In the end, she relented and put the jumpsuit on. A warden escorted her to her cell. The door swung closed and Barcelona saw 2 feet swing out from the top bunk.
Here we go.
Hey, roommate, she said. The murky
figure... characterisation is outstanding, yeah. Catherine.
The murky figure on the bed said nothing. The atmosphere was charged. It was as if the air was made of a trillion microscopic mime artists all doing an impression of strangling their wives.
Oh, my God! I was in a very dark place.
That's how charged it was.
It's like 10 years ago.
Barcelona tried to remain unfazed. I'm Barcelona. Barcelona Motel. Still, without speaking, her cellmate slid off the bunk and into the light. Jail had certainly taken its toll on her, but beneath her tough exterior, you could see that she was a beautiful young woman.
Oh, Christ.
She had...
It does say a lot, doesn't it, about me?
She had olive skin, anchovy eyebrows and a garlic nose. Her face was like tapenade. Oh, you're so Waitrose.
Yeah, 100%.
She was fit too, still with womanly curves, but she obviously made use of the prison gym. Her chestnut hair was tied back. However hardened her attitude, there was no disguising the soft beauty of her eyes.
Have you got any more prison music? What was that?
I mean, this is interfering Porridge. With my mojo.
It's just right. Yeah.
Her chestnut hair was tied back. However hardened her attitude, there was no disguising the soft beauty of her eyes. They were like big, squishy, wet cola bottles.
Oh, yeah.
There was something else in those eyes, too. A searching thirst.
Oh, blimey.
Barcelona looked at her and felt her chest flood with adrenaline. She'd kissed girls before. Oh, this has escalated. She'd kissed girls before, other young starlets in nightclubs, usually for the benefit of the paparazzi, but never seriously. Her cellmate was standing so close to her now that she could feel their breasts pushing against each other.
We're back to the cuddling. That's fine.
Wow.
Come on, step it up.
Her nipples tingled in protest. How does that happen? Against the coarse fibres of her jumpsuit.
I misspelled coarse, that's embarrassing. Carry on.
Her cellmate reached a hand up and stroked Barcelona's delicate cheek. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
I still don't know your name, Barcelona stammered. She could feel herself blushing. She was like a schoolgirl. A schoolgirl that had just opened a biology book on the reproduction section, only to drop it onto the TV remote, which brought up a screen of the DVD of her parents making love, just as Justin Timberlake walked in, presenting a live TV show called I Know What You'd Do With Your Teddy Bear. Anyway... She was blushing.
We're going to try some other prison music. Here we go.
Please, because this is...
Yeah, that one's a bit jaunty. Here we go. Hang on. The Great Escape.
This was a harsh place. And yet she could not help but notice the full softness of the girl's lips as she whispered her name. Rubella.
Yeah. Now, come on, you need to step it up. A bit faster, please.
Rubella kissed her. She kissed like a man would. Her tongue searching Barcelona's mouth.
Here we go.
Wrestling with her own tongue.
Blimey.
Barcelona Motel, the heiress, waited on hand and foot day and night, was no longer in charge. Barcelona put her hands up to stop her, but it was an empty gesture. Rubella unzipped Barcelona's jumpsuit, exposing her pert breasts.
Oh, God. La, 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 la! I'm sorry.
Her nipples, already raw from the jumpsuit, exploded. Gosh, that's... Oh, God. As Rubella flicked her tongue over them. They didn't really explode, obviously. Barcelona felt flames of desire licking at her belly as the two of them shrugged off their jumpsuits. The cell was chilly, but their bodies were warm. They melded into each other until limb enfolded limb and they became a single squirming, flexing animal.
Oh Jake, yeah! I was young!
Fingers trembling, Barcelona slid her hand down Rubella's golden belly. No.
Yes!
No.
You can do this! You can do this! It's a euphemism.
Reaching for the slick blancmange
yes.
of womanhood beneath. Blancmange!
The slick blancmange of womanhood.
Had you actually had a woman at that point or not? Is this just imagination? If it's a blancmange, you want to see a doctor.
Matter? What does it even matter?
You want to see a medical
it's
professional.
Just numbers. Carry on.
The two of them were contorting with excitement and now Barcelona made no protest as Rubella's tongue slid past her navel. Oh, no!
Come on. Quick!
Gently probing a lady flower like the proboscis of a little butterfly sipping nectar. Or an abattoir worker siphoning fat out of a dead pig.
That's gorgeous. Gorgeous imagery, that.
Barcelona shivered with delight. Hot and cold, excited and fearful. Wet and windy with a strong chance of precipitation in the south.
That's nice. That's a classy one.
As Barcelona felt waves of sexual frenzy engulf her, she knew this would be the best 2 weeks of her life. Unfortunately, she was wrong. The next day, she was transferred to a new cell with a big ugly slapper called Bertha. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Jake Yap, I'm writing a note to your mum.
She's heard it all before.
You filthy.
Well.
I mean.
Are you okay?
I think I need a shower.
No shower. No shower can save. That's it for tonight. I can't thank you enough for indulging me over the last 3 hours, particularly you, Catherine,
yeah.
and you, Ed. We never got our 2 minute cuddle, but I know it's what we're going to do the minute we come
no,
off air. Yes, well, I was talking to Ed, but it's not. No, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good. Right, that's it. Goodbye. Ian's hopefully back tomorrow.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.